want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Damn straight.
Why am I turning Japanese?
Hi.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, everybody. Let's see. Oh, let's start with some real inside stuff.
Good.
Yesterday, at some point during the show, I said something about radio duo Ron and Fez. They follow us in Washington and Baltimore and in Tampa Bay.
Yes, fine program.
And I said, oh, hold on, Buzz, are you waving at me?
I'm here, yes. Hi.
Oh, well, your microphone was on.
Well, I don't know.
It was on.
I just wanted to wave hi.
Okay, you know, really what he was doing was greeting you.
Yeah.
Well, no, he was giving me the wave like, hey, let me turn my microphone on. But I'm pretty sure that's it. It's on.
It is on.
It's on.
All right.
Got a digital buzz.
There you go. So now without, I'm just waving at Buzz.
Hi.
How you doing, Buzz?
Hi.
So anyway, you know, last night I said, because I'm a kidder,
right?
I said, you know, stand by for Ron and Fez, as I say most nights.
Right.
Even though I said something like, you'll never hear our names on their show.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then there was a moment of awkward silence.
Yes.
Well, I was talking to Jay Dubs, mm-hmm. who works on the show after the Ron and Fez show, the Hefe show. And he told me, now this is funny, that last night Ron and Fez started their show.
That's my impression of Jay Dubs.
Started their show with a contest to see who could be the first to say our names.
Oh, very good.
On their show. So
like
that's...
That.
See, how about that?
That's a good
funny.
One. I like that.
That's
funny.
Funny. Thank you, Ron and Fez. And yeah, they follow us in Baltimore and Washington and Tampa and should in a lot of the markets that we broadcast to. They are an enigma to us, are they not?
They are.
Mm-hmm. They are. We work in the same building as them. They're the only guys in this building besides us who are radio guys.
Right.
All the other shows are piped in from somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
or guys on the Earn While You Learn plan like Hefe.
Right. Yes, Hefe and...
So these guys, Ron and Fez, have been in the business a long time like us, but for whatever reason, I mean, I catch them walking in the door, and I mean, I see them.
Yeah, we don't see
door.
A lot. We don't see a lot of them. We occasionally bump into one another.
Yeah, but we don't see each other enough to say hello. And you know, anyway, hi, Ron and Fez, and that's fun. Now that's funny.
Yes.
See, to me, that's funny. I bust their balls, they come back. That's funny.
That is funny.
Now this is just sad. Well, what this guy Jay Dubs is doing, he's on the show that's on after the Ron and Fez show, and we've had.
Do I hear the impression again?
Yeah, would you please, Mike? We've had Hefe on before.
Yes,
he's got the show after Ron and Fez.
My diet coach.
So, Jay Dubs says to me, "If it's not too much trouble, I want to tell you what we're going to do on the show tonight." I said, "Sure, what is it?" He said, "I'm getting a tattoo." And my response was, yeah, it's been done.
Yeah.
He said, no, my tattoo is going to say Detroit Lions 2005 Super Bowl champions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, Buzz, now, that's a gamble.
Now, I know you don't know a lot about sports, Buzz, but
it's true.
But Detroit stinks.
Probably not going to happen.
They've stunk for a long time.
And will probably stink for a long time to come.
So I said, well, why would you do that?
Yeah.
And he said, here's the logic. Well, first, Mike, the impression. He said he thinks the 5 can be turned into a 6 or an 8.
Oh, you can do it that way.
And I said, yeah, so Detroit's going to win the Super Bowl in either 2005, 2006, or 2008. Right.
Now, I gave him a nice suggestion up in the office a minute ago when he walked by.
Yeah, Mike.
Jay Dubs, why don't you just put... you know, Super Bowl champions, and then a line with a blank, and you can pipe it in there whenever you get the big victory.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what we have going on behind the scenes here today. But once we start our show,
mm-hmm.
our own fabulous show,
that'll be fun.
The first part of it is going to be how to really screw up a radio show.
Yay!
Because we've got a bit that's just so bad. I've not heard it. I think most radio shows would probably have gone through the exercise of trying this and would have said, you know what, this stinks. We don't even want to try this on the
air. When something goes terribly wrong on this show, we share it with you. Yeah. We open up our wound and we let you take a look inside.
With most radio shows, I think this particular segment would have been aborted 3 tries ago. That's the magic.
Yeah, it's Jomo's, but wait, there's much more. You know what I need is a brief palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Before we start the show today. Give me a moment.
Hello, my name is Kirk Douglas. I've known Frank Sinatra for more than half of his 80 years. I once told his wife, Barbara, that one of the reasons he was a great singer was because Frank was a good actor.
Mr. Sinatra, happy birthday. This is William Shatner. I don't believe we've ever met formally.
Well, anyway, that's...
Never did. Is this Frank's birthday?
No. No. Not at all. That's nothing to do with Frank's birthday. Just one of the... You know, we're going through all of our dumb tapes.
Oh, I see.
You see, of course, the music's just killer for anything.
Sure.
Yo, do you ever think we'd be saying happy birthday to Frank Sinatra?
Oh, not when we were kids, Joe.
He was a king, wasn't he?
Yes, sir. He was great, boy. Old Tommy Dorsey Records, boy, we got back home. And Frank, happy birthday. This is Yogi saying, it ain't over till it's over.
Frank, what can I say after that? When Yogi says it, it ain't over till it's over, it ain't over till it's over. So together we say, happy birthday, Frank.
Joe Garagiola and Yogi Berra.
Yeah, that's right.
And happy birthday, Frank.
Let's see if we can find one.
Is there a chance?
That's even remotely relevant.
Why are you getting that tattoo, J. Dubs?
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers. I just want to wish you a
God. Wayne Rogers.
Oh, the guy from MASH?
Very big.
The bad guy from MASH. The guy that when MASH went downhill.
All right, as I look at this list, and I'll tell you the choices we have left. Angela Lansbury, Jack Lemmon. Frankie Avalon.
Could you play Jack Lemmon?
Oh, well, hold on. Johnny Bench.
No.
Johnny Mann.
No.
John Cicada.
No.
I know it's Cicada. Dennis Farina and Dennis Franz.
Dennis Farina, Dennis Franz,
yeah.
And Jack Lemmon.
We can only select of those three, Mike. Only one. Jack Lemmon, Dennis Farina, or Dennis Franz. And remember, you might just hear, "Hi, Frank, this is so-and-so."
This is Dennis Farina.
Okay.
I like him because he's got the Chicago accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, now this is the guy from Get Shorty, right?
Get Shorty. This is, Shorty. The, guy, this is the guy, right? And he's...
F-U-F ball.
Right.
Hey, don't throw up on my shoes.
Hey, Frank.
Now, what you're going to do is take this gun and you're going to pop one into that guy over there. So when the cops show up, they never know that I was here. And then Gene Hackman has the gun pointed right at this guy's nads.
Right.
And he says, oh, okay, that's funny. That's funny. Meanwhile, he's got his foot on Gene Hackman's face.
Right, Get Shorty.
Get Shorty. I like that movie.
Dennis Purina.
This is your old friend, Angela Lansbury.
Oh. Rob did that on purpose.
You tricked me.
Hello. Hi, Frank. This is Dennis Farina. Bono Campagnano. You've been an inspiration to all of us. And I hope you have many, many more happy, healthy birthdays. And nobody sings Mamzelle like you.
Right, well, of course he didn't. No. And that's some stuff I think we can afford to lose.
Bono Campagnano.
I don't think we need to keep it.
Yeah.
All right,
we'll keep this.
Yeah.
Come on, why
don't
you everybody join
us?
Come on, everybody
we
sing it now.
Yo, Frank, it's Wayne Rogers.
Oh,
I just want to wish you a terrific happy birthday and many, many more.
All right, take that. Just take.
We love the pirate songs.
Take them all out. Take it out. Let's
even put that one.
Yeah, even that one.
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers.
Yeah.
Hi, Frank.
Listen.
I'm peering in at you, Frank.
Robbie, I know you're putting in a CD right now, but we don't have Groaners today. No. However, I do know that Rob Spiewak wrote one himself.
Oh, Groaner.
Good. So, Rob, what is the Groaner today? Here we go, Robbie.
They have discovered that the big fire in California was caused by a bird electrocuting itself and falling into some brush.
Really?
Yes. True. Now, I've heard of hot wings, but that's ridiculous.
Okay.
No, he's not retarded. Uh-huh. The Don and
Mike Show. Hey, now.
Hey.
It was the Groaners.
I think the other Groaners are funnier, right?
Right, yes.
The ones from the server.
Yeah, that was terrible.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You know, a lot of it had to do with the delivery. You didn't really punch on hot wings.
Hello.
You caught me by surprise.
Ah.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And his soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Could you hit CD2 real quick?
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers.
Good afternoon. Mr. and Mrs. 98% perfect and all the ships at sea.
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers.
Broadcasting with a belated sense of urgency, it's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers.
Yeah.
Okay, Rogers. Right. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and thank you for listening to the Don and Mike Show. A new episode on this. Oh, you better put the music back in. A new episode, queued up, new episode on this Wednesday, 07-21-04.
Hi, Don and Mike, Buzz Burbank here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Buzz, and everybody and guys, and thank you for listening. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Wednesday, it's July 21, 20-04.
Hi, Frank, it's Wayne Rogers.
Yo-ho! Call us from anywhere in America at 877-365-3636.
Hi, Frank.
From Canada, please to be calling 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. Okay, let me mention this. Something I'm not looking forward to tomorrow.
No.
Before I tell you how to do, a brief note from my life until we get to how to really screw up a radio bit.
Very good.
Which is going to be what we'll open with today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy about my weight. I know, Mike, you've talked about your weight recently. I had quoted myself at 220. I got on the scales today. I weigh 212.
Very good.
Now, that's still fat, but for me, that's way
good.
Down from what I was like in the 275.
What's your secret?
So, and I'll tell you, Mike, besides the treadmill every day.
Right.
And this is what kills me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's my wife's cooking.
Yes, you're eating healthy.
Yeah, like last night, if you remember, I bitched when I said, I don't want a tuna steak tonight. And this morning when I got on the scale, I was elated. I said, I'm lighter than I thought I was. The first thing she said, and Rob was the best when I was telling this upstairs, Rob said, and I looked on the scale and I was lower than I thought, and Rob said, how did she ruin it for you? And I said, now listen, see, wouldn't you have felt bad if you would have eaten whatever you wanted to eat last night, if I didn't make you that wonderful tuna steak, which I guess
right.
has like, you know, whatever, zero bad stuff for you. And then we had mm-hmm. some tomato thing with some, not real cheese, but some cheese, something on it that was low in whatever it was supposed to be low in.
Sure.
So anyway, thanks. I just want to say that to her. Thanks very much. And tomorrow, this is really, being married, this is hell. I don't like going to the dentist. I don't know anybody that does.
Right.
I got to go tomorrow, and I'm going for the scraping, because the last
time... For a real good deep cleaning,
right.
where they're going to take the hooks to the back of your teeth and
right.
grind the plaque off.
Right.
I love that.
Whenever the last one was 3 months ago, it's one of those things when they called to confirm, and I said, oh, you know, I got an appointment. I can't make it. I'll call
right.
you. I'll call you sometime. So... As it turns out, it's tomorrow.
Ah.
And they call this morning, the dentist, they call, and they say, hey, listen, don't forget your appointment's tomorrow. And I said,
we got some hooks with your name on them.
Then they say to me, and also please remind Frida of her appointment. And I said, I'd be glad to. And they said, her appointment is the same time as yours.
You get to go together.
So I immediately hung up.
That is so nice.
Call my wife at work. Shut up, Buzz.
Sorry.
Call my wife at work, and I say, Do you have any idea that our dentist appointment is at the same time tomorrow? And she, you know, very cheery at work, happy, she said, yes, I requested it like that. So there's no need for separate cars. We can drive over together, and then we can go to the dentist together. And I said, well, what if it takes me a lot longer than it takes you, because I hadn't been in a longer time. She said, oh, whatever. We'll just go together.
So one of you will probably end up sitting out in the waiting room waiting for the other.
Well, you know, at that point, it won't bother me because I'll be the guy in the chair. She'll be the one waiting.
Waiting. Two words to get through this.
Yes.
Laughing gas.
Mm-hmm. All I know is that going to the dentist for me is a very uptight experience anyway. And
Is it just the cleaning?
Yes, but Mike, here's the thing. It's just the cleaning, but who knows at what point they're really going to want to get inside. And, you know, like every time the dentist says to me, I had a tooth knocked out when I played football.
Mm-hmm.
And then once when I was on a ship in the middle of freaking nowhere.
Back when you were in the Merchant Marines.
No, that time that I almost drowned, that story you like so bad. When Frieda and I went on a sailboat for a week with my brother and sister-in-law, we're in the middle of nowhere. I had a rotten tooth and we went to some third world island and my choice was either pull it out or pull it out.
Mm,
so you can't see them, but there's one back here from football. So I've got two teeth that I've been missing. I'm toothless and tooth.
So you never had like an implant put in there?
No, I never did. And they always push that on me.
Yeah,
I said, well, you can't really see it.
Right.
But I'm afraid that this is the time that they're going to push it in. And then I'm afraid.
How about the Da Vinci's?
That's what I'm afraid of.
Why don't you get one nice Da Vinci just to see how it feels?
The last time I was there, which was more than 6 months ago, the guy tried to sell me on, you know, the whitening. You know,
yeah, I'm getting that.
Let me give you the 1 hour whitening, and I said, look at that. They're not that yellow. I don't, you know,
ain't that yellow.
That's
not like you look like you just walked off the set of Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's flattering. Ain't that yellow?
Right. Yellow.
But there are so many things I build up in my mind that I'm positive that one of these times I'm going to go in and he's just going to say, do you know if you would have come in for your regularly scheduled appointment 6 months ago, I would have caught this. But because you're the jerk that waits 6 months, now you have some type of terrible, awful root, you know, whatever it is.
We're going to have to pull all the teeth.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's not going to happen, but I get uptight about it.
Sure.
And the last thing that I'm going to want tomorrow morning to get up and go is be in the car with my wife, who's going to be happy about it.
She's maintained regular visits.
Not only maintain regular visits, but, you know, she's one of those people that, like, really flosses after every meal.
Sure.
Of course she does. Of course she does. Isn't that right, honey? Where is she? Darling, where are you, honey? Where are you?
I got hiccups.
There she is. Of course she does. She flosses all the time.
So it's going to be, it's going to add to the tension of the visit.
Yes, it will. And I'll report tomorrow. Somehow I'll buck up and make it through. Also, before we get to the worst show ever, which I think we're starting here today, this first segment.
I could not be more excited.
We had a screw up something. Did anybody see that bag that we had on the show yesterday? Anybody watch that bag on Extreme Makeover?
I did not have the opportunity. I did see the Amazing Race last night, but I did not see the bag.
When she described herself yesterday on the show as having the turkey neck.
Right.
She was not kidding. And talking
really
about...
Really gobble gobble?
And, you know, and here I am telling you that I'm missing two teeth. Now, fortunately, when I smile, you can't see it.
No, but, I can't see the spaces.
But this woman had teeth that were going left, right, upside down.
Just hideous.
You know, look, her mouth looked like an ad for Athlete's Fungus.
Wow.
And they fixed her all up.
How was the reveal?
For me, disappointing.
Really?
I mean,
listening to her yesterday, she sounded 80 years old.
No, and they went through all the stuff that they did. I don't doubt that they spent $250,000 on this woman.
How do you like my Da Vinci veneers?
Every single thing that they could have done to this broad, they did. It was the eye lift lid and the face pull and the nose job and the chin job. And,
you know, all the sisters were pretty.
They were.
I'd hate to have to choose.
Did they all have the turkey necks?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And they were all...
30 women.
And Mike, I find this hard to believe, but all of them came out of bad marriages.
Really?
All of them currently on the market.
Really?
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, I try to look beyond the outer beauty with someone.
Sure, of course.
I try to find the inner beauty.
Hey, look me over.
You know, the key to a good relationship is the beauty within. If we dwell on the way a person looks,
right.
You know, we
right.
You know, why waste time with that?
Shallow.
I think that's a foolish way to choose a companion.
Is she funny? You're funny.
What?
No, you're funny. Hello. Chris.
That's just going to leave it there.
Yeah.
This is funny.
Hi, Chris.
I use you. I make you laugh.
Hello, Chris. Yes.
Hey, John, Mike. How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, the lady on the makeover show, you know who she looked like?
Mm.
The lady that Arnold was dressed up as in Total Recall, the one who kept saying 2 weeks in the big moo-moo.
You mean the one that, like, in Total Recall, the woman that where eventually Arnold, like, takes the head off and is inside of the woman?
Exactly.
Like, unzips the suit, it's like the woman's suit.
I don't remember
I know
that
exactly.
Movie.
What this, I know okay. exactly what this guy's talking about.
She's a dead ringer for that lady.
She's kind of like... So when you say the turkey neck, it was kind of a jowly...
Yes, it was.
Turkey,
yes,
like
yes it was. Yeah.
And so they sucked all the fat out of it. And
they sure did.
Like, yeah.
Tightened the skin.
Didn't help. Hello, Jerry.
Yeah.
Don and Mike Show. Hey, Jerry.
Yes, Radio God.
Howdy.
I watched it, and oh my God, the before and after, both, all three of them were rough. But if you notice, like at the end, they all had like this L.A. sheen to their faces, and the muscles weren't exactly matching up, but the skin, they all had so much work done. It was really unnerving watching them talk.
That's true. But it wouldn't have been, I would have never have watched that show if we hadn't have had that bag on yesterday. And yes. Hear and to hear her speak,
right?
Actually, I mean, it worked for ABC. It got me to watch the show last night.
Oh, yeah, but I wouldn't say anything.
She was 90, yeah.
They did look very waxy when all was said and done, and they all looked like they could have had the surname Tripp. They were all big, strong women.
Real thick women.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, they're big boned.
Like your strong baby boy.
Big boned.
Yes.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hey, Golden Boy, how would you know what makes a very good relationship?
I happen to know what makes a good relationship because I observe all the good ones that are around me, sir. Hey.
Practice what I preach.
Oh, shut up.
Hey.
Shut up, you.
Get bent, you.
Shut up. Hey, hold on. Listen to this man.
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers. I just want to wish you
a... You had an awful life.
Get now, did we lose that? Is that man still on the line?
No, I hung up on him.
Oh, damn. I wanted to finish him, Don. Let me finish him sometimes, all right?
Okay.
Let me finish. When they're nakedly cruel...
But let me tell you something, Tiger. Let me tell you something, Tiger.
I want to finish him off sometime.
In recent days, not that I've been counting, but I've had to use the dump button on you, Tiger, 4 times in the last week.
But I just said get bent. That's all I said to the guy. I wasn't going to say. I just wanted to finish him off.
I was just making sure you weren't ramping up.
I wanted to
some of your previous shock jock statements that I was shocked to hear you jock.
You know, sometimes when people are nakedly cruel to me, I just want to investigate why.
Mm-hmm.
I want, and I suppose he was.
Can I tell you, Mike?
Yes.
Okay. The word starts with J.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And ends with S.
Okay.
Okay.
You mean why?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why.
Okay. I feel better now.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel better now. Mm-hmm. I do.
So any of you junior G-men out there figure out what the J word is, huh?
I do.
Not you, Rob. It's not a four-letter word.
No, it's not.
No, I just sometimes I wonder. And, you know, and what he didn't understand was when I was talking about relationships, I was being facetious.
And that's why I said...
That's what I was being...
That's why I said, you're funny.
I'm a funny guy.
And I didn't get into great detail on it, as I often don't with you.
Right.
I simply acknowledged the
funny
fact...
funny man.
...that you were acknowledging the fact that what he was saying was true.
Being sarcastic. But with that guy... You know, he couldn't see that, and then he went right for the naked cruelty. Kick the guy that's had the 2 marriages. Kick him while he's down.
Agenda.
Come on now.
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers.
God, I wish he was here. Yeah. I wish Wayne was here right now. Truly do.
Now on to how to ruin a bit.
All right, good.
I'll give you that this was a last-minute bit. It was a throwaway thing yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we do. We take great delight in sending Slow Joe Artinger out with a man-on-the-street interview.
To ask foolish, nonsensical questions.
All right, now the thought yesterday was that we would send Joe to Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yes.
And have him stand out at the theater after when people were leaving, when they would want to come out and be interviewed about the movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I said to the crack staff, many of them on crack, I said, why don't we, hold on, what is this? Bob in Buffalo. Hello, Bob?
Hey.
Hey.
First time calling, Don. I just want to make you feel better about your dentist visit.
Oh, why?
Because we're the same age, and in 5 weeks from now, I've got to go have all my uppers pulled out and have dentures put in, so.
Why?
So I would, Bob, basically just decay and things like that.
I think you got scurvy. I'm not afraid of that. I'm just afraid of,
you know,
just everything.
Let me tell you something.
I told them that they told me they wanted to pull my teeth, and they asked me if I wanted Novocaine. They asked me if I wanted Novocaine.
Yeah?
So I told him, I said, you know, that'd be like trying to give a cat a bath. I said, I just told him flat out, knock me out, so I just hope it makes you feel a little better about what you got to face.
You wanted to be completely knocked out. I don't blame you for that.
Listen, I'm simply afraid. I'll give you the full report tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised if I have a cavity or maybe they wanted to do something about one of these teeth.
You
know,
no disrespect, sir. As they say on The Sopranos, no disrespect, but...
Or, you know, Bill Parcells.
But in this day and age of fluoride and the products that are available, how did your teeth get all decayed?
I really have no idea.
No, come on, man.
Clueless.
No, honestly, I'm the first person my fan of this.
I want to tell you, this is one of the reasons that I bear this shame when I'm going tomorrow, because I get the tooth the toothpaste that says it does everything, and I got the fancy motor at the thing.
Yeah, with that, you'll have an occasional cavity, but you're not going to have the whole DK problem.
But here's where they get you. If you've seen any of these commercials, like the Crest one where it says can whiten your teeth in only 2 weeks,
right.
When you read on the bottle or the tube, whatever it is, right. Whatever it comes in, it says brushing teeth for 2 minutes every time.
Right.
Now stop and think about it. Really, and I've tried this when I've had the radio on or the TV on, to brush my teeth for 2 minutes. And I'm a lazy man. I don't have to do any of the
right.
Downside. I've got the motorized one. 2 minutes mm-hmm. is a long goddamn time to stand there and brush your teeth.
Do you multitask?
Yes, I do. However...
You know what I did today when I was brushing my teeth? It's a true story.
What?
I wrote a check. I actually remember that I had, and I was kind of under the gun time-wise, and I have a timer on my electric toothbrush.
As do I.
So at a certain point, when you've gone the 2 minutes, the thing goes,
I'll see, there's just another reason that you guys have it together more than me.
And I was writing a check and brushing my teeth at the same time. I was so proud of myself.
See, I couldn't do that because whenever I walk around with it, the foam comes out of the mouth.
Yeah,
comes out of the mouth,
right.
And then you get that oogie residue stuff that we've talked about that builds up on the base of your toothbrush.
Exactly, and then you have to take an old toothbrush to it.
So the way I've rationalized this in my mind to talk to the dentist tomorrow is to say, I don't stand there for 2 minutes every time, but don't you get just as much if you go upstairs and brush your teeth for 20 seconds, 8 or 9, 10 times a day?
I don't think if you do that, you can get your tongue in the roof of your mouth.
Well,
right. Do you brush your tongue in the roof of your mouth?
That we've had this discussion. Not only do I scrape the tongue because that's where, like, the bad breath from the Opus X Fuente... Opus X cigars comes in.
Ask your dentist if you can brush for 1 minute if you press really hard.
I almost sound like the herpes guy. Because brushing...
2 minutes is a hassle.
2 minutes is a hassle. So, listen, about this bit. Please, anybody out there that knows anything about bits, that's an insult to a bit. Here was the idea. We'd send Joe out like we always do.
Right.
Send him out to Fahrenheit 9/11 with the goofy questions. Now, there was some discussion as what time we should send him.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned to somebody, send him out to a matinee today. Mm-hmm. Catch people coming out of the theater.
Right.
Then they said, well, no, we can't do that because the movie doesn't start till like 11. Movie ends at 1:30. Joe doesn't have time to do the interviews, come back. Put them on tape. There's too much hassle.
There probably wouldn't be that many people at a matinee today.
So then Beth, and I agree with that, Beth Ann said, you know what she did? Let's send him to a movie tonight. This was last night, mm-hmm. tonight. So we sent him to a movie, to a big mall where Fahrenheit 9/11 is playing.
Right, that'd be, for anybody listening in, what city is it? That's 2 nights ago.
Oh, in Austin.
In Austin.
Right, in Austin. Yeah. 2 nights ago.
Right.
So he went, and counting Joe... There were three people in the theater for the 7:30 showing of Fahrenheit 9/11 last night.
Oh my God.
At the Fair Oaks Mall, right down the street here.
Really?
So his choices of interviewing people were limited to two. He did interview the people, and he did then interview a guy that was working at the theater.
Oh, that's good.
Wow. Now that's bad, and that's poor planning on our part. That, you know, gosh, we should have picked a time, but you know, you would think a 7 o'clock show.
Yeah, but I guess the shelf life of the movie is
right. Maybe
that's
so.
A factor. A weekend would have been better. Maybe.
Yeah, I know. But this was me. I wanted to have this now. You know, I'm one of these got to have it today things.
Yeah, but it's tough to get any funny questions about iRobot.
And then the the thing that got me was when we were going through the questions yesterday. You know, in one sentence, keeping in mind the people are coming out of Fahrenheit 9/11 in theory. In one sentence, what did you think of the movie? How do you think the movie will affect the election?
Uh-huh.
In the movie you just saw, wasn't Tobey Maguire just wonderful?
Right.
And then it would go on to snacks you enjoyed in the theater, and why is the floor sticky, and do you think Spider-Man can help fight terrorism?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you get the last question, in my humble opinion, it was the funniest. Do you think you'll go see Fahrenheit 9/12?
Yes.
Now, this is where... I mean, I'll take responsibility, first off, for thinking that the whole concept is funny, because I still think it's funny.
Right.
Joe going out. I stand by that. The questions I think are funny. The questions that we wrote down, Beth Ann said, you know what I'd like to do to help? She said, I would like to go to my word processor and transcribe them for Joe.
Good for
Beth
Ann.
Good thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So she had the type list, And then this morning I get up and I check the email and there's the copy of the list that's been sent to me. And I notice that the last question says, do you think you'll go to see Fahrenheit 9/11? So I called Beth Ann this morning.
Right.
And I said, now already knowing, because Rob's already called me, and you'll hear all of this. Joe called Rob to say there were only two people in the theater.
Sorry, what should I do?
Well, no, you're gonna hear that because Rob didn't answer the phone and it's saved in Rob's voicemail.
Oh, very good, Rob.
So we'll hear the message from Joe. Then we will hear this stuff. Now, Beth Ann. So Rob calls me last night to say Joe only talked to two people, and I say, what the hell? We'll still play the tape anyway.
Right.
Then I get this thing, and I call Beth Ann this morning, and I say, hey, now listen. I know we read that these questions on the air yesterday, and you type, do you think you could see Fahrenheit 9/11 instead of Fahrenheit 9/12? Do you think Joe asked the right question?
Yeah, it was a typo. It was supposed to be 9/12. That was
right.
The joke.
Right. And she said, I'll have to call Joe and ask him. So we waited for Joe to wake up from his midnight slumber.
Place your bets.
And, come on, Mike.
Place your bets, everyone.
Come on.
Winner!
Would you like to put it on the pass line?
Winner!
Come on now.
Winner!
Baby doesn't need new shoes.
Winner!
That's right. Don't blow on these dice.
Winner!
Nope. Joe Red, do you think you'll go see Fahrenheit 9/11? Even as the people were walking out of Fahrenheit 9/11.
That is the charm and the magic that is Joe.
You told him no ad-libbing.
I know.
Here he comes right now.
I know we did.
Stick to the script.
I specifically told him not to deviate from the script.
I know. I understand it.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Hold on now. I bet this is Beth Ann calling in. Hello.
Yeah, it's not his fault. I mean, really, it's my fault.
Well, hold on a second. I just want to ask Joe a question. You said not to deviate from the script. When you said that, when you looked at the script, did it ever enter your mind that maybe that was incorrect and you should change that? Or did you, and then you said, well,
oh, you
they
see,
said
because
no.
Don's a comedy genius, and I thought because I was talking about Spider-Man, then I'd be asking about 9/11, having forgotten that they'd seen 9/11.
Right.
Hold on. So you thought who would forget?
I understand what he's saying.
What is he saying?
No need to pursue this.
Okay.
My question's been answered.
Okay. And don't patronize me, Joe. I know you think I'm a schmuck, so don't patronize me.
I'm kidding, of course.
Of course you're kidding. Either way.
The answer was he didn't know.
I take responsibility for this because I'm the guy that likes sending Joe out. And I got to tell you something. I even like it now when it's going bad, and you've not even heard the tapes yet to hear how bad it is.
I can't wait to hear them.
Yeah.
In Joe's defense, he only made the mistake once. Because he only talked to one person.
Yeah, and
Beth Ann is, I think, being incredibly noble, falling on the sword for this, for the typo, you know, where she messed up too. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to spare Joe's feelings.
Yeah, but really, she should have, when she read it and wrote it down, she should have processed as well.
Yes.
And it should have been 9/12.
There should have been a red flag there as well.
Should have been there.
Do you get the joke, Beth Ann?
Both.
Pardon me?
Well, both ways are humorous.
No.
No, negative.
No, absolutely not.
Negative. The first way, how did you enjoy... Hold on. Please listen to these words from someone who knows funny.
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers.
Okay, now that he's spoken... No. Now, listen... There are probably people listening screaming at the radio saying neither one is funny.
Yeah.
And I would say that, you know, that might be
winner.
That might be a winner too.
But when you noodle through, did you go see Fahrenheit, will you go see Fahrenheit 9/12, the sequel joke?
Right.
You know, that's you know, at least an attempt at obvious comedy. The 9/11, on what level is that going to be comedic?
Well, because they've come out of the theater and you haven't asked them one question about the movie they've just seen.
Oh, darling, no,
oh,
yes,
no,
we did.
You really have.
Darling, the first question is in one sentence, what did you think of the movie? The second question is, do you think the movie will affect the upcoming election?
But you never say what movie. And then when you get more specific, you start talking about Spider-Man.
We have a problem. We have a problem back in the room back there.
Layers here.
We have a comedy issue back there.
Yeah, we do.
but it was a typo, right?
I couldn't... I thought it was 9/11. It wasn't a typo, but it was all handwritten in really thick Sharpie.
No, honey.
Yeah.
I write like comic book. Come on now. I do write with a Sharpie, but it's big and it's legible and it's like cue card letter sized. You can't miss it when I write you a note.
That was your handwriting? I know the thing in red Sharpie was yours, but the stuff in black Sharpie was your handwriting.
I don't remember which color was, but I know that Rob has exquisite handwriting as well. Regardless.
I even looked in the trash can this morning to look at the original.
Do you think that there was a legibility problem with the black writing?
And a comic problem. It was one. It was two things simultaneously, because you said, hey, you asked them, you purposely don't even mention the movie because you're going to continue on and ask questions about another movie.
Yes,
but they're going to be looking at you. Yes. I didn't see Spider-Man. I thought, do you understand?
I can see where you could make a case for that.
Okay, but still, no. And listen,
well, the real funny thing.
But the bottom line is,
we're splitting hairs because the bit itself really sucks, and this just helps the bit suck.
Yes,
and then I don't mind highlighting.
I think
that.
Three people at the theater assures you know that you're going to live in the village of Suckdom for a while.
But I got him.
Well, and here he
is. Hey, at least you got the three, right?
Well, it was the man and his wife. I was the third person, but it was hard to pick them out from the people that. From the eight people that went to Spider-Man 2 and the half dozen people that went to Anchorman.
So, wow. Then you've got this as well, this bonus. I get this call. All right, now Joe really only interviewed one couple that was in the movie because they're the only people.
Right.
And even with the last question being screwed up, he still got that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he also talked to a guy who was working in the theater. They said at this point, they said, Joe's holding the microphone next to his clipboard, his CBS clipboard to give him credibility.
Right.
So the quality's not that great. Then my henchman, my lead henchman.
Much like the quality on this phone right now.
Rob says, you know what we should do? We'll get Joe to listen to the tape of him with the guy in the theater where you can't hear the microphone so good because he's got it up next to the clipboard. And Joe will transcribe everything that was said, and we will recreate that interview with Mike playing the role of the guy who Joe supposedly interviewed.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, they have...
And still an attempt to salvage this.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And look at the incredible detail that this group of idiots that we have went through.
Wow.
They found... Look at this. Here are two pages...
Incredible.
...of every word that Joe spoke with this idiot last night. Meanwhile, when I get here, after they've done all this, I go into the other room and I say... Just play the tape of Joe with the guy.
Yeah.
Just let me hear the quality of the tape.
So not only were there two people in the theater, not only was the comedy kicker, the last question to be asked messed up.
Oh, and Mike, now word now coming in. Jay Leno wants that joke for The Tonight Show. That is such a great joke.
So not only...
Are you going to go see Fahrenheit 9/11?
But I'm just going down the line here. Not only was that screwed up, but we have an audio issue as well.
Yes.
So we're three for three.
So I'm listening to it, and my thought in the room before the show, in the production room, the tape room, I said, well, that's good enough quality. We can hear that.
SBIG?
SBIG.
So bad it's good?
I didn't hear enough.
Okay.
I like being surprised with everybody
sometimes
else.
Sometimes the SBIG factor works on many levels.
So the thought, and Joe, you feel good about the interview where you weren't holding the microphone exactly up to your mouth, right?
Right.
Right, that's the one you feel better about?
Larry Bud Ardinger.
So what we'll do is we'll hear both tapes, and then we'll hear him we'll hear him interview the people in the theater,
uh-huh.
Then we'll hear him with the guy that works at the theater, and if the quality on that is too bad, as a backup, we've got the transcript.
Yeah, I think one thing would have made that whole movie theater better.
What, Mike?
Cicadas.
Lots of cicadas.
Or locusts.
So it's right. It's been a nutty morning around the show here.
Yes.
It's been a very nutty morning around
interesting
the show.
Stuff.
We can't do nothing right. We try hard. I'll tell you this. You know, if you were graded on effort.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we want to come in and do a good show for you every day.
We want to entertain. We want it to be funny.
We don't take pride in sucking.
No, not at all.
But, you know, you never know. Maybe they'll surprise you. Let's hear a little bit. And we got to go to a break. Bye, Joe.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Let's hear a little bit.
Isn't a little bit the whole thing?
No. No, it goes on. It's about 10 minutes worth of time.
Oh, wow.
Let's hear just a little bit of Joe at the theater.
Okay.
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers.
That's not it, Don.
It's not Joe Ardinger.
Standing of course, here it is.
It's Wayne Rogers.
Joe Mullins.
So here we go.
Hi, Frank.
Now, I've not heard this tape.
Uh-huh.
I heard the quality with the first people was okay.
Yeah.
Quality with the guy who works there, who's incidentally an Oriental, no disrespect intended, as Bill Parcells would say. So let's hear.
I'm just waiting for some people to come out of Fahrenheit 9/11 to interview them.
Oh, this is the one with bad quality. So
is this movie theater security?
Yeah. So you decide if this is bad quality or not. If this is good enough for us to hear.
Okay.
6:50 showing. I thought it was a 2-hour movie.
Usually, yeah, the movie approximately.
Well, with the sailors and stuff.
Right, but usually the movie itself, you know, approximately 2 hours.
So I'm just asking people what movie they're coming out of.
One word for the audio quality.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
All right, well, then the transcripts you will hear. You'll hear the transcript. Congratulations, Mike. You'll be playing an Oriental guy when we do the transcript.
That'd be good for me.
May I make a request?
Sure.
I would much prefer have Mike play Joe and have Joe play the Oriental.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
You do a wonderful Joe.
Only if Joe uses a British accent when he plays the Oriental guy.
Well, he can use the Asian accent as well, and that will be the same one.
Okay, so
watch out for typos.
So I guess we'll...
Hello, Buck.
We'll start with that in...
Is that the way everybody that's interviewed sounds? Like with condenser mic background noise?
No,
that guy.
That was the one when Joe was just holding the microphone casually.
Here's
where, I think, is cut to where he actually talks to
this
people?
This is Sparkling High Fidelity.
Here we go.
Can I ask you a few questions,
of course, perfect.
Questions taped to the broadcast for CBS Radio?
Perfect.
In one sentence, what did you think of the movie?
Okay, so that's what we have.
Very, very good.
That's what we have.
I should point out the microphone's pointed at Joe's face at this point.
That's right. So we've got that, and then we'll have the...
Dragging along the ground and back of him.
We'll have the recreation.
Oh, there you are.
Then we'll move on with the show. So glad you're with us. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you guys had shirts on when you came in here.
There's something happened to him, man.
Come on, Spicoli, just put the shirts back on. You see that sign? No shirt, no shoes, no tie. Right. Learn it. Know it. Live it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thanks for listening, Chief. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Chief. Let me tell you, today on the show we'll have, because of our deal with the Amazing Race, all of the people who are on the show are at the Les Moonves party this week.
Yeah. Oh.
The giant, that's why Leslie has not joined us this week. They're having whatever their...
The hot tub party?
The premiere party that the lady from the Washington Post goes to and writes about.
Right.
So today CBS says... how about Brennan Swain? He was the first winner of The Amazing Race. He will tell us what he thinks of the people on the show. Uh-huh. And this is the one reality show that everybody seems to agree is good and everybody watches.
Very fast-paced.
Last night you had the old man and the daughter that were eliminated.
Yeah, they got screwed on the airline.
And my favorite moment was the midget moment when they're trying to get their airline tickets.
Right.
And... she goes up to the person at the desk and says, "Dottori," this is the dwarf, right? She goes, "Dottori, need dottori." Then she looks at the camera and says, "This works all the time." Right. Oh, you, why, you little.
The high point for me would have been the two Jewish brothers, when the one brother drove by Charla's sister, just driving by the car and just out the window went, "Bitch!"
Yeah, that was a great moment.
I immediately became fans of the two brothers, and then thought they were going to be eliminated when they couldn't find the right chocolate.
So that was like a Lucy show thing they were trying to do with them biting into the chocolate.
I don't know, but I found it terribly wasteful as I was eating my chocolate covered raisins in bed.
Anyway, the Amazing Race will have that today. Tomorrow, the federal prison consultants firm that Martha Stewart has hired.
Not a bad thing to have on this show anyway. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we won't need that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm talking about Joe Ardinger. You know,
oh,
I mean,
right.
That might be a good
Joe.
Idea. Some of our callers.
Anyway, Martha Stewart is going to prison, and there's a consultant firm out there she's hired. So we'll have them on. And then this is a good booking from BA on Friday. A guy from Las Vegas. You may not know him. His name is Tim Crockett. Well, he lost to that freak Ken Jennings Monday night on Jeopardy.
Really?
Yeah, you know, the freaky guy is still winning.
The freak,
and that's what we're all calling
him
now.
He's an intellectual freak.
The freak nerd boy is still winning, so we'll have one of his latest losers on
right.
on Friday, because that now to me that's interesting. I want to find out what that guy is like. That dude's won something like 33-34 times in a row.
Exactly. And you know, it's nice. I always when I watch Groundhog Day and then they're replaying that on cable, the old movie Groundhog Day, where he relives the same day over and over again, and at one point watches Jeopardy, and because he's seen it all the time.
Oh, right, he knows all the answers.
He has all the answers, and it's great if you have access to both the West Coast and an East Coast feed.
You can
always play a nice little game. If you ever, or even if you're flying across the country, you can sometimes play that game with your friends. Watch Jeopardy and memorize the answers.
Here's the answer. He is the greatest actor of our time. I'm sorry.
Can I ask you a few questions for you?
Oh. Wayne Rogers?
Yeah. The label said Wayne Rogers. Sorry about that.
It's contagious.
It sure is.
Isn't it contagious?
Wayne Rogers?
No. The whole Joe bit.
Yeah. Although that was my fault.
Okay, spray for that.
The label said. So anyway.
Yeah, that was my fault.
Right, so yeah.
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers.
Okay, Rogers.
There you go.
Boy, so many mea culpas around here today.
Time now for
Joe Moe's.
Here we go.
It's time for another edition of Joe Moe's. Joe Artinger, Man on the Street.
Yeah. Man on the Street. So the first part that we'll hear, and these are painfully short. So, enjoy, and let's enjoin him.
Stand by for a great bit.
Here's Joe, last night, after Fahrenheit 9-1-1, talking to a couple of people who have just seen the movie. Very Joe Artinger, on the go. It's Joe Moe.
Joe Moe.
Can I ask you a few questions, please?
Questions taped to the broadcast for CBS Radio. In one sentence, what did you think of the movie?
Depressing.
Do you think the movie will affect the upcoming election?
Hope so.
Probably not.
In the movie you saw, wasn't Tobey Maguire just wonderful?
Right. Funny.
I didn't see Tobey Maguire.
What snacks did you enjoy in the theater?
Not a thing.
In the theater you just left, what do you think made the floor so sticky?
I like her.
She's funny,
It must be some solvent that was unspecified.
Do you think Spider-Man could help fight terrorism?
He's the guy. Sign him up.
Did you enjoy the role that Michael Moore played? He was Doc Ock.
Fit in. He's a good guy for the role.
Who will you vote for, George Bush or Drew Carey?
I'm in the Drew Carey camp all the way.
Will Oscar like Osama?
They're a good pair.
What message did Spider-Man teach you in the movie you enjoyed today?
Don't watch depressing movies before dinner.
Do you think you'll go see Fahrenheit 9-1-1?
Again? No, I don't think so.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah. Let me just say,
you know,
there's something
that
about
guy. I give that guy credit because he did the most with that than anybody could.
He tried.
He sounds just like Harold Ramis with no sense of humor. The exact same voice, but no sense of humor.
And to me, that's, as I like calling it, VJ. That's vintage Joe.
Vintage Joe.
If only Joe would have gotten the Fahrenheit 9-12.
Right.
It would have been merely a perfect Joe interview. He was mispronouncing and reading at the Joe.
Yeah.
You know, learning with phonics
it
level.
It was almost there. It was really almost there, which is great.
And it's too bad. It's just our dumb luck.
And that's those, it. Is that the only person he interviewed?
Well, they were the only people. Now, you can't
blame. Because the lady was just laughing, and she heard all the questions, so.
Yeah. They were the only two people in the theater besides Joe.
Wow.
So now we have the interview with the guy that works in the theater.
Very exciting.
Okay, here we go. Now for this one, since Joe was casual, as he interviewed the guy.
There's some ad-libs in this one?
No. It's all ad-lib.
Yeah.
And it's Joe doing something like this, where he's got the microphone in his hand, and at the same time he's holding his clipboard that says CBS on it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking to the guy like this.
And because of the way the microphone is being held, you can't hear the other guy.
Well, we'll see how much we can. Let me move it back. We'll see how much we can understand, and then if we find it unintelligible, it's time for the transcripts.
And we'll just have to see what happens.
There we go. Hey, Mike, what about Gene Baxter and Kevin Ryder?
Gene Baxter and Kevin Ryder were lying.
Who are you?
My name is Robert Stack. You're listening to Unsolved Mysteries.
Okay, here's Joe with the guy at the theater. Oh, you know what? Hold on. You know what I'm forgetting?
What?
The voicemail message.
Oh, yeah. You want that?
Yeah. That
hey, this might be the best yet.
That Joe left for Rob when he originally found out that there were only two people in the theater.
Very good.
So you got that? You're going to dial that up? Oh, and you're going to get a chance to hear Rob's exciting, unique ringtone on his telephone.
Oh, good.
Right. He's only played it for me like a million times. We'll be sitting in a room. He says, call my phone. I go, why? So you'll hear it ring.
All right. Very good.
You ready?
Great, yeah.
Here it is. Stand by. Get ready for excitement. It's an Elvis song.
That's all right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very good. Isn't that terrific?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's nice.
Do you love it?
I think it's fantastic.
That ain't too annoying, is it?
Oh, that's the kind I hate. Those. Continue. Whoever invented those ought to be shot.
It just continues. Okay, so you're pulling that up now, Robbie?
This is a message from Joe. Is it a panicky message, Rob?
No.
No. I don't think panic is in Joe.
He called Rob so because Rob doesn't have a home phone. He doesn't believe in them.
Yeah, right, like Wendell.
Gift message from
Joe.
Received yesterday at 9:12 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rob, this is Lee G.
He does that too?
Joe. Well, I came up here to the Fairfax 14 and had a chat with the security guard.
So this is the guy that we're going to hear.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, he told me there was like one guy watching the movie. But guess what? I got that one guy on the way out.
Uh-huh.
And his lovely wife. So that's where we stand. Maybe we put this bit off till the weekend or something.
No, need Joe.
A lot more busy later in the week.
No, more busier.
That's right. Anyway,
I'll heard you.
See you tomorrow.
To send a reply message,
you don't want
to
save it.
No.
To erase, press 7. To save, press 9. For more options, press 0.
It's stuck press in your phone, eight. Rob.
Main menu.
Thanks for pressing the 7 button 8,000 times, incidentally.
2. To change your personal options, press 3.
Oh. Changes
to place a call, press 8. To exit, press star.
Hello? Is that it? Oh, it's gone.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm goodbye.
No?
Hi, Don.
Press the number.
Hi, Rob.
I'm going to try and delete it over here.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Not a recognized entry.
Uh-huh.
Main menu.
And my thanks to Sprint.
Technology.
All right, bye, Rob.
Bye, then. Bye, Mike.
Bye, Rob. Bye, Rob.
It's too bad we couldn't have reset his settings in the phone.
It'd be nice to reset that dial, that ringtone.
You'd like to hear it?
No, that's okay, Rob.
No, thanks,
I'll pass.
Anyway.
You know, my wife got a new cell phone recently. Uh-huh. Just, you know, because it's been like 3 days since she's had a new one.
Uh-huh.
And she got one of the... Actually, it's like everybody's got the deal now. You take your number with you, you get a new phone.
Yeah.
So... Bart showed me what he had done to her telephone. You can have, like, a logo on it. You can pay a certain amount of money. It can say, like, I heart...
Oh, when you said Bart had done something to her phone, I thought he, like, glued the flip phone.
No. So whenever she turns her phone on, there's a greeting. It's like a screensaver.
Mm-hmm.
And for 99 cents or whatever it is, you download this, and it has a red, white, and blue background, and it says, I heart... And then it had a bunch of different choices that you could select. You couldn't write your own word in.
Oh, okay.
The choices were, I love, I heart America.
Uh-huh, amen.
I heart New York.
Okay.
I heart L.A.
Right.
And I heart colonics. So that's,
wow.
That's the one
that he picked.
That they were, apparently she said something to him like, I can't figure out how to get the voicemail to, and she said, would you look at my phone? And he said, yeah. And you know, kids.
Oh, yeah.
You give them pieces of it, and he there you go. And then she said, now, wait a minute, my phone says I love colonics.
I love colonics.
He's a funny boy.
How do I get this off my phone?
I don't know, Mom.
That's what he said.
Can't do it.
That's great.
Okay, now we'll hear if this is, audio-wise, if this is okay for us.
Right. Very good.
Joe with the security guy at the theater, because this is the best we can do.
Joe Mose.
For Joe Mose.
I'm just waiting for some people to come out of Fahrenheit 9/11 to interview them.
Oh, okay. Are you like a new thing?
Yeah, CBS Radio. And I have a schedule, 6:20 and
You know, this quality is awful, isn't it?
I have this schedule.
Can you follow this at all?
Usually, yeah.
Says he's with CBS.
Right.
It's at 6:50 and 9:20 or something.
Movie itself, you know, possibly 2 hours. So I'm just asking people what movie they're coming out of, because I don't know.
Oh, okay. So you're like just doing interviews?
Yeah.
People that will watch it. Okay.
You know what? I'm afraid we're going to have to go to the transcript.
Yeah, all right. Too bad. I would like to play the Chinese guy, please.
We're going to have to. Okay, you got it.
Thank you.
And, okay, Mike, if you wouldn't mind playing the Chinese guy.
Thank you, Don.
Would you mind?
No, it'd be a...
May I play Joe?
Yes, I'd like you to play Joe.
Now, I don't do a great Joe.
Fine.
Forget it!
Perfect.
I'm halfway home!
Can I ask you a few questions, please?
What's the purpose?
All right, there's my motivation. Can I ask you a few questions?
All right, well, you're not saying that to me. You're reading the other script, and I will be doing this in the role of the modern Asian. I think Rob knows exactly what's in store.
So this is very much like what they do on E! True Hollywood Story, right?
Reenactment.
Where they reenact stuff that happened.
Okay.
All right. So, Mike, you're the guard.
Can I help you, sir? No, I'm sorry. Can I help you, sir?
And then, keep in mind, this is the real tape that we're hearing here.
Can I ask you a few questions, please?
What's the purpose?
Questions taped to the broadcast for CBS Radio.
All right, so this is the quality that we're hearing.
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers.
What is going on? Right. This is like a bad acid trip right now.
Okay. Go, Mike.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm just waiting for some people to come out of Fahrenheit 911 to interview them.
Okay. Are you like news?
Yes, CBS Radio. I have the schedule with 6:20 and 6:50, and it's a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, usually the movie itself is 2 hours.
But I'm just asking people they're coming out of, because I don't know what to think.
So you are just like doing interview Pisha walking F-9-11 to see what they think?
Yeah.
You are working for...
CBS.
Oh, CBS.
Yeah.
You know you can only interview, but you can't take any picture, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Just a tape deck.
Yes.
There's no laughing there, Mike.
I just want to spice it up.
Yeah, no problem there.
So, Joe, you are... Reporter?
You know, I got to hear this part of the tape. I don't care how bad the quality is.
I was just getting ramped up.
I know, but I want to hear the guy...
I'm having fun now.
Mike, so am I, but I want to hear the real guy say to Joe, really, are you a reporter?
Okay, uh-huh. Well, you won't be able to hear him because the audio is so bad.
Maybe I'd be able to just pick a little bit out.
Okay.
Fast forward a little bit. I just want to hear that line.
Uh-huh.
Are you a reporter? Looking at Joe.
Right.
Even though he's got the big CBS thing there.
Yeah.
Are you a reporter?
So you're like just doing interviews.
Yeah.
People that will watch Fahrenheit.
Right.
Like to see what they think.
Yeah.
And you are working for
CBS.
CBS.
Yeah.
You know that you can only interview, but you cannot take any picture, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Here we go. Here's the part.
Yeah, no problem, man. So, you are a reporter?
Yeah.
All right, I just wanted verification that we're reading something that actually was said.
So, you are a reporter?
Yeah.
Okay. So... after you do assignment, you go back and you write about it?
Yeah, exactly.
Any popular people you waiting to?
Anybody who will accept the interview.
We from what I know, I see only one guy in there.
Oh no, are you kidding?
I am not kidding.
In the whole theater?
So that's from what I know.
Oh, well, not many people tonight.
And I don't know. I only know these just one guy, but I have no idea, you know?
Well, I'll just wait a little longer and ask the question.
Because today is, a slow day.
Oh, okay.
When you come, Friday or weekend.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's when you have a lot of people seeing it.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, I just got this assignment today, so I'm like, okay.
You have any partner? Seem like you have one partner.
No, just me.
Just seem like the guy, the big tar guy.
Oh, he was just out here smoking? He was going to go in and see the movie.
Oh, okay. I mean, if you want to, you go inside and watch a movie yourself. And then when the people go out, that's at the time you go with them, see?
Wow.
And then you start doing your job.
Yeah, I mean, one guy is not exactly going to make my evening. I may have to come back Friday night.
Yeah, you may have to come back a bit later. Yeah, last show is at 10:40, I think.
I don't see too many people running up.
Right, throw again today. Throw day.
What is this? Tuesday,
yeah.
I hear you. I'll just wait a few more minutes here then.
How do you know which ones are washing the...
Well, I just ask people as they come out if they've seen it and they say they have. I ask them it's okay to ask them questions. If they say okay, then I go ahead with that.
Okay.
There's a certain legality to it. Yeah, all right. Which side? You know which side it's playing on?
Both.
Both sides?
Yeah, they're playing on both sides.
Okay.
We have a few more people coming out here.
And that's when Joe turned the tape recorder off.
Bravo.
There you go. And it was great.
I love my feet. Yeah. What can I say? But
thanks for listening to Joe Moe.
Yeah.
Joe Artinger, man on the street.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, so many moods with that Asian movie guard.
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers.
Thank you, Wayne.
Can I ask you a few questions, please?
All right, Joe. That was the transcript. What's your feedback on the role playing?
It was great. You just got one line, one of my favorite lines. He goes, "So after you do assignment, you go back and then you write out it."
Okay, thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
Thanks for helping.
Thanks for listening to Joe Moe's Joe Artinger, Man on the Street.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
It's a comedy tip-in right there.
Thank you. That's, we really needed the help.
Thanks, Shaq.
Thanks, Joe. Hold on. Hold on. First one, Sean. Shaq Artinger.
Perfect.
That one I'm writing down and keeping in the book. Where's Shaq?
Shaq Artinger. There we go. Shaq. His new nickname.
The Diesel. Because he gets things done.
That's right.
Did you happen to see Shaq down in Miami having his big parade?
I am becoming a huge fan of Shaq. I think Shaq's fantastic.
I saw him down there asking people to get naked and run on the beach with him naked.
Mm-hmm. Shaq is fantastic. I mean, really... If every athlete handled the media like Shaq handles the media, it would be a much more interesting sports center.
Yep. I couldn't agree more, Chinese man.
Period. P-U-R-E-D or whatever. You remember when he spelled period?
Hey, man, he's an idiot.
Oh, he's great. But he knows he's an idiot.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. Shaquille O'Neal is great. And that's a great name for Joe Artinger.
Shaq
Artinger.
You like that, huh?
Yeah, I do. You know I like me the funny names, and that's a good one. That's one that'll stick. You know what? We got to get a Miami Heat jersey.
Sure.
Shaq's going back to wearing.
Nice.
Shaq's going back to wearing 32. He wore 34 in the league. Go back to wearing 32. Get him a nice 32 jersey, a Heat jersey that says Artinger on the back.
Absolutely.
Or maybe we splurge the extra four letters, and we have Shaq Artinger.
Shaq Artinger.
Hello, John.
That was the funniest bit, Don. You should always do Joe's report reading. Have Mike read the Chinese guy and you read Joe. That was hilarious.
They're weighing in on our performance,
Joe.
Don.
You go, all right, well, it's...
Keep the Chinese guy.
I thought it was going to be bad. I just wanted to warn you up front. Maybe not our best stuff.
I think we made a little pudding there.
Maybe
perfect.
Not our best stuff, but that's Joe, and I don't think that there's any need to keep this, is there?
I'll just keep the copy in my car.
Oh, best of. Yeah, listen to it on the way home.
And make me a copy as well. Who else wants a copy of that to
please.
Listen to on the way
home? I think everybody on the staff.
Yeah. And for a self-addressed, for a copy of that, please send a self-addressed stamp envelope to Kiss My Ass.
Care of Shaq.
Shaq Artinger. Care of the Miami Heat. South Florida. United States, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we come back, something that has nothing to do with Joe.
Very good.
That's all I know, China man.
Thank you, Shaq.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Derek?
What do you want?
Actually, I'm trying to talk to Mugatu, but he's tougher to get to than the president.
Oh, thought you were going to tell me what a bad Yugugalizer I am.
A what?
A Yugugalizer? One who speaks at funerals? Or did you think I'd be too stupid to know what a Yugugali was?
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, hold on. I'm dry.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm dry. Bye. That's an operator error. That one's on me. That's not the computer. That's not Buzz. That's not Mike. That's not Joe. That's not BA. That, you know what I'm going to blame on that?
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers.
Thanks, Frank.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. There you go.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready.
JFK Amendment Act of Washington.
That's the computer doing that.
Damn it. Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Featuring new dimensions of hatred. The Don and Mike Show.
It's an ongoing process with me and iRobot in here.
I understand, and it's getting better every day.
It is.
See, the thing is, things move from one screen to the next. I keep trying, for instance, to find...
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers.
There it is. That's moved from number one to number two. This is behind the scenes stuff. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Just...
Shut up!
Okay.
So much to juggle.
No problem here.
Right.
Shaq Ardinger. Great name. I got to tell you, I stole this from a football player. I felt so good. And I said this to my wife a couple of weeks ago. I thought of Buzz today. Buzz came over to my house a couple of weeks ago to help me with a project, hooking up a TV in the exercise room that my wife had been on my ass about for the longest time. Buzz came over and helped me do this, set it up, showed me what wire goes where, actually helped me with the work. He did, you know, 75% of the work.
Right.
But still, I watched, I learned, we had a good time.
Yeah, we did.
Freedy came home.
You watched, you learned, you loved.
As always with Buzz. So, when she came home, I said to her, and I stole this from some NFL guy that said it. I thought it was so pompous at the time. When she pulled in, I said, "You know who I am?" She said, "Who?" And I said, "I'm Domino's." She goes, "What?" I said, "I'm Domino's. You know why? I deliver." I deliver.
That's right. So you took 100% of the credit for 25% of the work.
Oh, no, she knew that Buzz was there.
Yeah.
It was not a secret that Buzz was there.
Right.
And she knew that I was going to need Buzz's help to get
the job
done.
But you got it done. You got Buzz over there, and you got it done, so technically you did deliver.
That's right. And she just told me to go somewhere. That's, you know, that ain't funny.
No.
And then here's the problem when you have Buzz.
Take a seat, Sparky.
Here's the problem. You have Buzz over to your abode. Here's the thing. Buzz, as you know, and I'm sad to mention, he's one of my best friends. He is barren.
Yeah.
He has never been able, I don't even know if he's had what you and I would call normal relations.
Yes.
Because of, you know, his many problems.
Right, of course.
So he's got no kids. He's got like 1,000 cats, and he's got no kids. He's very happy.
Can I point one thing out? He has no kids that we're aware of.
Yeah,
or, that anyone
knows. Or Marsha knows about.
Right, exactly.
Right. So he and his wife, and we're going out to eat with you guys. It's next Monday night. Is your
That's right.
What's the anniversary?
29 years.
Oh my God. 29 years.
Wow.
29 years.
For Buzz and Mark.
Nearly three decades.
Incredible.
29 years.
So he had, he came over and
29.
And after we get done with the stuff at the TV downstairs, I very proudly bring Buzz up to my room, to the cave, where I've got the nice big screen and the high def, and all of this is stuff that I've put together myself.
Yeah, I mean, the TVs themselves, you've manufactured.
That's right, it's like IKEA. No, but listen, Mike, for me it's a big deal to get everything hooked up and not to screw it up.
I can understand with modern technology, it's difficult.
Yeah. And I labeled everything, and I showed Buzz all
That's
the labels,
smart.
And I said, now look at this.
Do you have all the component audio cables hooked up?
Yes, I do.
Okay, very good.
Everything is set.
Red, yellow, green.
The last thing that Buzz says to me, I know Buzz didn't bring it up, I did. I said, you know, the only thing that bothers me is there's just this one little wire.
Tiny little wire.
A little wire that's hanging out behind.
Red light.
Because it's really one of those TVs that you hang on a wall like a picture, right?
Right.
So I said to Buzz, you know, that bothers me. And he, and immediately Buzz said, well, that would bother me too. That I would fixate on that. I said, what would you do about that? Buzz said, I would get some liquid cement. And what I would do is get some glue, and I would actually glue it to this What do you think that what do you call that thing that
some
covers
kind of a plastic channel? As it turns out, I mean, it just looked like a box really under the TV.
It's
set.
A thing that goes up the wall that hides all the wires.
Right, but I didn't know that.
So
that's the spying device.
So I'm looking at this now. Ever since Buzz left my house almost 2 weeks ago, every time I sit down to watch TV, the only thing I see is this tiny, minuscule wire
haunting you. Wow.
And I can't figure out where it goes, and if I tuck it behind something, it would come back out. So finally this morning I said, screw it. I pulled everything apart. I took the whole goddamn television apart again. I mean,
really?
not the television, but the components.
Put it off the wall.
The box and the audio stuff and everything. I pulled it away and finally found out where that thing went, ran it up that
the channel, as it turns out.
Ran up that the channel, the tube back there, was yelling at my family the whole time. They're like, what are you doing? I said, get out of here. I'm doing something important. You can't talk to me now, because if I lose my place,
I'm putting the thing where it's supposed to go.
I'm never going to be able to watch television.
Let me put the thing where it's supposed to go.
So I got it where it was supposed to go, and then the first call I had to make was to Buzz.
Yeah. Where did it go?
Mike, what I did was I routed it with all of the other cables.
Right.
And they're hidden by the big... See, I'm not a technical guy.
They're all
hidden
inside
by
that case now.
Inside the big, black, almost tube-like structure.
But what was there a point of entry?
Yes, there was a point of entry.
Was there a nipple on the end of it?
A nipple?
A plug.
Like a mother's nipple?
Oh, no, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Was there a male end, and did it have a female
Yes, and that was all the way underneath the television.
Did it improve your service when you inserted it?
No, you know what? I can't figure out what it does, because the picture's the same.
Yeah, really?
The TV's the same.
Did it have any writing underneath the female plug end when it got there?
No, it's yellow. And all I know is that I plugged it in, and then I sat back like, okay, now I'm waiting for the spectacle.
Right.
The mystery wire has finally been plugged in.
The picture is 50% brighter.
And no, nothing happened.
But it didn't break either, so
no,
that's good.
Right.
That didn't happen.
All right, now here's a guy. What is this? We have the colors wrong on the cable. What is this? Hello, Mark.
How you doing?
Hi, Mark.
Don and Mike. Holy cow. I can't believe it got through to you guys.
Holy cow.
Well, holy cow.
So we prove every day anybody can call. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm a video guy for a living, and so you guys...
Somebody else?
S-Video, composite video, component video. By the way, Mike, component video...
Hold on. Was that an ad you just gave?
No, he's
for
just,
who?
No. He was just mentioning cables.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right.
Component video is red, green, and blue.
Yep, you're right. Right,
okay,
I'm wrong.
So let's get that straight. That's component.
Can we just get one rule on this show? And in this case, I guess it was Mike that said that. And yesterday it was me with Billy Ocean, get out of my dreams, get into my car.
I knew that it was red, yellow, and blue. I just wanted to dumb it down for the vast majority of our listeners.
But well, all you guys out there who, I hate to use the word again, but, you know, that word.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you that feel that way, would you stop calling on the off chance that one of us makes a mistake every once in a while?
No nitpicking.
Don't forget what we said. 98% right. All of the time.
All of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Sorry.
Right. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I was just trying to be helpful.
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
We don't want your help.
Yeah, because it sounded like your phone's ringing, so maybe you're getting some calls at know-it-all video.
See, here's the thing. When you're right 98% of the time.
All the time.
The 2% don't count.
Right. Now, it's not red, white, and green. It's red, blue, yellow. Who cares?
I don't know any other show in America that would allow the great unwashed to call in.
Great unwashed.
And tell the host. Whatever minuscule fact it is,
right,
that they've screwed up.
It's like telling sales guy Paul Gorgie, you know, turn over now in the tanning bed.
Don't tell a guy that knows what he's doing.
He knows that.
He knows what to do. Look at him.
That's right.
And look, you've wasted 5 minutes on this call, this conversation.
Just trying to be helpful, fellas.
Could have been 5 minutes you spent smelling your fingers.
Now, I'd like to... may we examine this comment?
Just
you
hang up?
Oh, now you made him hang up.
Yeah. Just trying to help, fellas. No. Now, we played that tape plenty of times. Do we ever ask for help from
people? No. He's helping a very good friend of his, known as his ego. That's all he's helping.
Anyway, listen, here's the point. It was me yesterday. Today, it's my buddy Mike. Okay? I think this is a pretty simple rule. They'll make the show go very easy for us.
Absolutely.
For the next 4.5 years, or maybe even longer.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, Rob?
Number one.
Here it is.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Video.
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers.
Oh, I think it would be nice if, on the off chance we make a mistake, just send us a letter. Just send us a letter. Or even better, shoot us an email.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Send it to Don and Mike, and I'll give you the address, the web address. It's a long one. SEATLOV, because we love you guys, RS.com.
Yeah.
SEA, that's like the special society part.
Uh-huh.
TLOV, to love.
To love.
Mm-hmm. ERS.com. Mm-hmm. Send it to either Don or Mike at that address.
Okay. Yeah, when you go on that address, you click on that, you should be able to get to our specific email.
That's where we'd like to hear the complaints. It's like what the great Bart Starr once said to Vince Lombardi. He said, listen, don't yell at me in front of the team. If you have something to say to me, pull me aside and yell at me behind closed doors.
Right.
So send us that email.
Don't embarrass them.
It's Don and Mike at, and I'll spell it out, scatlover.com. Mm-hmm. That's the name of our website.
Absolutely.
Or, either... Or you can come by for the Don and Mike Listener Town Council meetings. We have those every second Tuesday at 9 a.m.
And they are wonderful and so very informative.
So come on by one of the mornings when we're... And that's where we serve coffee and donuts and we ask people.
Yeah.
And it's the know-it-all convention. We say, now listen, on the shows that we did this week, what do you think we did wrong?
What could we do better?
Don't forget, it's coffee, donuts, and aspirin.
Right. And share your knowledge with us and have a cookie. Yeah.
Now,
here's something very special on the Don and Mike Show. It's music that doesn't have anything to do with what we're doing.
Mike, it's an important message from an important man.
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers.
No, actually, it's time for the secret sound. It's time for us to get a caller 100 right now. The jackpot is up to 300 American dollars.
Wow.
Oh, we're going to do it inside this break, so call now. Dial recklessly, 877-365-3636. Identify the common everyday sound, and you will win $300. We add $100 every day, and here is the sound. If you've not heard it before and you're dialing right now, dialing recklessly, that's the sound. Good luck. Figure that out.
Wonderful.
Win a cash bonanza.
God, that's wonderful.
Now, Mr. Will Smith. I'm going to talk about Will Smith before I talk about Britney.
All right.
Because there's so much with Britney that you don't know about that I find fascinating. You will love.
Good.
However, Will Smith, here's the problem with my man. As I mentioned a couple days ago, he's a movie star now.
And you're a fan.
I was a fan.
Right.
I'm still a fan. I think he's good even in iRobot. But when I see him on TV, like on the Regis and Kelly show, and he's being interviewed, and he says, well, Regis, the tough thing is my kids are growing up now, and they're saying, Daddy, every 4th of July, you save the world, Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
When are we going to have a 4th of July when you don't save the world? You know that's crap.
Yeah, you know his kids aren't saying that.
And he's saying a bunch of stuff. And then I read you a quote where he was talking about spending time with Tom Cruise because only Tom Cruise understands the pressure of being a movie star.
Yeah, so it appears to you that Will Smith is swimming in Lake Mee rather significantly, that he's getting caught up in the star trip.
Then there was the quote about anyone who is... How did he put it, Rob, about the wipes?
You're not... giving yourself the full service.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to give yourself the full service.
Yeah, that's one I cannot take issue with. I completely agree with
you. You're part of the fun. You were saying you
take issue with.
You know, it's wet wipes.
Like that.
Here now, after the movie opened, number one this weekend beat Spider-Man, the Anchorman.
Yes, iRobot.
Will Smith is now talking about not pre-moistened wipes. He's talking about his wife, Jada Pinkett, right? Who doesn't like her?
Lovely.
And he said that she, and I'm now quoting Will Smith, who I used to think was as down-to-earth as movie stars get.
Right.
He's out of control. Here's his quote on his beautiful wife, Jada Pinkett. Quote, first and foremost, mommy has to be taken care of. If mommy is straight, everyone else will be straight. I'm very clear that Jada comes first and comes from her garden. For me, it's important to keep my garden watered and healthy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a young man who was the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Right.
This is a guy who took Hollywood by storm. Who doesn't like Will Smith?
Right.
He ended up getting a great piece of ass, Jada Pinkett, to be his wife. He's on top of the freaking world. He's got Dumbo ears, and he's still a movie star. However, please, and he's not saying this facetiously.
No, he's being a movie star.
Yeah, Jada is my garden. And for me, it's very important to keep my garden watered and healthy.
Ooh, sounds like he's into something kinky.
Yeah, what the hell does that mean?
The hell's going on there?
What the hell does that mean?
And did you see this? He said that the psychiatrist told him to do the nude shower scene. He said that he asked them what his character would be like, and they said, well, for one thing, he'd shower with the door open because he's constantly paranoid, so that's why we have Will Smith naked in the movie, is because psychiatrist told him to.
Okay, keep an eye on him. Somebody get the net out.
Do you believe, and I'm going to give all these people a little slack because of the culture of celebrity in this country where you have these people. I would imagine in order not to get caught up in it, you have to be amazingly strong-willed.
You know what?
You have people every day.
But here's the thing.
Just, I mean, you're like royalty.
Yeah, but Will Smith, while he's popular and he's a great actor, blah, 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 he's not in the elite group.
No, he's not.
He's still not. It's got nothing to do with the color of his skin. It's got a lot to do with movie choices, the body of work, the fact he's only been making movies really for 5 or 6 years.
Right.
Everybody thinks he's a guy on the come. There's no doubt about it. However, and listen, I know it's a bad example because the guy I'm going to mention is absolute just friggin' nuts. But you don't see Colin Farrell taking himself like a movie star.
No, he's just out partying all the time. Not that serious. That's the way we like our celebrities.
Every interview I read with him, besides dropping the F-bomb and smoking cigarettes and drinking, everything he says is, it's a phony world that I'm in. It's a phony world that I'm in. It's a phony world that I'm in. And maybe someday he'll be jaded and he'll grow out of it, too.
Sure.
But I'm one of the guys, listen, and I know I'm white, so brothers don't get down on me. I still have Big Willie style. I still have that CD. I still like that. I like Will Smith.
Sure.
I don't like Will Smith becoming a jerk.
It just seems to me that most celebrities, and with Colin Farrell as an exception, go two ways. When they get to that certain level, when they get to the pinnacle, when they get to the top, when they're making all the money, when they're in the major blockbusters, when they're in the blockbusters, they go two ways. They either get like Will Smith.
Bust out down.
When they get to that level, they either go down the road like Will Smith swimming in Lake Mead,
or
they go the other direction and go the Marlon Brando route and go completely nuts.
Or you get a guy like Colin Farrell. Mm-hmm. A very good chance he'll James Dean it.
Let me tell you about Colin Farrell, though. I think Colin Farrell has a much better chance of going down the totally nuts road than he does going the Lake Mead. I like the celebrities that go completely off the deep end.
That's what I'm thinking. Colin Farrell is James Dean.
Right.
It's going to be this troubling news out of Ireland where Colin Farrell has driven his motorcycle off a cliff because someone bet him a penny he couldn't do it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because he's crazy like that.
There was a third road, and that was like the Elvis Judy Garland road.
Right.
That is effectively over
because of
rehab is very chic
because
now.
You know, there are different categories.
No, although we've got the Olsen twins and we've got the one Mary Kate.
Yeah, but they saved her.
Her 2 week stay has turned into 6 months.
Yeah, but she can't count as a movie star after that movie.
No,
and she's almost out, right? She's almost out of whatever halfway house she's in.
She comes home this weekend, doesn't she?
Thank goodness.
So and you know, and we
flowers.
We shouldn't just include movie stars in this. We should include TV stars because TV stars do the exact same.
If I could just mention a name, and we take our caller 100, Lee Remini.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lisa Remedy.
It's a perfect example of that. Could be the next Courtney Love.
Hey, a man can dream, Buzz. Hello, Donna Mike Show. Call 100. Hello.
Hi, this is Jake.
Hi, Jake. Where are you from?
Reno.
My friend, thank you. Listening in Reno, our station out there is called The Buzz, right?
Yes.
You are the 100th caller, and you've got from HBO the Entourage prize pack. Don't miss the all-new episode of HBO's comedy series Entourage, Sunday night. That's at 10, 9 central on HBO. You'll play for $100 to $300 with this secret sound. Are you ready?
Yes.
It's a common, everyday sound. We'll give you 15 seconds after we play the sound to identify it, win the money. Please don't answer until blah, blah, blah.
Caller, name this sound.
All right, and here it comes. That's the sound. Now, eventually, a couple of days, a couple of weeks, whenever the jackpot gets big, we get a winner. You're going to know it immediately. Here it is one more time for you.
That's why don't we do it in the road. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't we?
Thank you.
Okay, there you go, $300. What is it?
All right, a spoon in the utensil drawer.
A spoon in the utensil drawer. Negative. Negative. No.
All right. That would count as our first weak effort.
My friend, hold the line, please. Don't forget that every guess is a clue
for you.
Tomorrow we'll play for $400.
Ooh.
We'll do that. This at a different time in every show. Oh, we got a break for our amazing race update. Can I just tell you about Britney Spears real quick?
Yes.
And I'll get it. You don't know everything there is to know about Britney Spears and the guy that she's marrying.
Right.
For instance, did you know that the guy that she's marrying was involved with a girl who was on Moesha, and that woman had a baby yesterday, and that baby was fathered by Britney Spears' fiancé, which means when Britney Spears finally marries this dope,
she'll be a stepmom.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Two kids.
Oh, he's got two kids?
He's got two. She's the second.
She really knows how to pick them, doesn't she?
Or whatever. Was it a girl?
They don't know yet. They've not released it.
Got a second. And she
wasn't that first guy that she married out in Vegas? Wasn't he a mallet head, too?
Jason Alexander.
Of course. And before that, she dated another married guy.
Now, there's also a story going around, and we don't have time for this, about Britney Spears' crazy uncles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is from the National Enquirer. They sent us an advance copy of this. I share this with you, the National Enquirer. Now,
her crazy uncle Randy?
They know Randy Quaid. No.
No.
Randy Spears. Randy Spears?
Porn star.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Lost on me, but
I'm sure
with a lot of people, like the buzz.
Hello.
The National Enquirer says one of Britney's uncles, his name is Johnny Spears.
He goes by
the name of Roadkill Willie because he hates eating regular food. He's 46 years old, has a criminal record, felony burglary, failure to pay child support. He sleeps on the side of a road and eats roadkill with a sign that says, I'm Britney Spears' uncle.
Wow.
Then there's Britney's Uncle June.
What you don't know would fill a book.
Oh, that's right.
Hey, Don and Mike, what you don't know could fill a book.
Let me see. His past has assault with a deadly weapon, three DUIs, and used to beat up women, including his wife.
Wow.
Uncle June is 41, and like Roadkill Willie, he also is living in a box with a sign that says, I'm Britney Spears' uncle.
Do we know which side, mother's side or father's side?
These are from Britney's father's side.
Oh, great.
Britney's daddy often gives these two jobs to the construction company.
He has
fired them in the last 6 weeks 10 times.
Wow.
And they're back living on the street in cardboard boxes again.
I'm Britney's uncle.
So the guy, Kevin Federline, is the guy that she's getting married to now. He's the guy that knocked up the girl that was on the show, Monica.
So that's Moesha.
I'm sorry.
That might account for the reason that she's got this kind of trailer park attraction to these guys.
Yeah. So the girl from Moesha is having the baby yesterday.
Right.
He's not there for the birth because he's with Britney.
Mm-hmm.
However, he flies out to Los Angeles a couple hours after the baby was born. Britney Spears was not there. The woman. What's I can't find the girl's name.
Shara Jackson.
That's her name, and here's her quote. There are two little kids, and Britney Spears better be prepared to babysit their ass.
Meet your Aunt Britney.
Britney Spears, it's the last quote on this, talks to People magazine about this, and she said definitely, she says this very enthusiastically, she plans to meet these kids someday.
That's so nice. Hey, but taking Britney out of the equation, what a lovely quote from the mother.
And then here's the last quote from the boyfriend, the guy who's knocked up this other girl.
Yeah, meanwhile, the culprit.
So then he says, his last quote to People magazine, which I guess will be out sometime soon, his last quote is, "I love my children more than life itself." Keep in mind, he was late for the birth of this latest one.
Just couldn't make it.
"My kids will always be a part of my life." So that's the quote from the guy.
And what is he? Isn't he 16?
And he also has one other great idea. That he doesn't see why, with this wedding to Britney, they can't make some money. So he's now going to all the tabloids, including the British tabloids, to find who will pay the most money for pictures. And how about taping the whole ceremony and getting it on TV?
Mr. Remini.
This doesn't come from Britney Spears. This comes from the guy that just knocked up the other girl.
Well, what is he, like a backup dancer?
Yeah, isn't dancer, 26 years old.
Yes,
yeah.
He is. Mm-hmm. And I say to you, I don't know if the Inquirer's out yet, but we got to, somewhere in America, we've got to get either Roadkill Willie or Uncle June on the show.
Absolutely.
Because Britney's got all of these people in her past.
Yeah, but I understand that both Uncle June and Roadkill Willie both subscribe to the Wendell Hall theory.
Okay. No phone.
No home telephone.
Winner! It's choice. It's a choice. I'm sorry. That turned. Well, hi, Rob.
Don't you think if you were to offer Britney some good-looking fried roadkill, she might take it?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I mean,
buddy.
Mike and I were talking yesterday. She could really easily veer down a real chubby highway.
Yeah, we were saying that Britney Spears really is a, you know, if she lets her guard down for like half an hour, she's going to turn into Kirstie Alley.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt in my mind.
And hey, those pictures of Kirstie Alley that were in the Inquirer, greatest? They are the greatest. Guys, I got to tell you one more thing. Les Moonves will not be on our show today. We cannot ask him about firing the people from CSI, or we can't ask him about the new show that we got a press release for today from CBS. It's a show from Mark Burnett, the guy who made The Apprentice and Survivor.
Right.
CBS has picked this show up.
Mm-hmm.
The show is called Recovery, in which law enforcement veterans will try to find kidnapped children. How did they describe the show? Mark Burnett said, "It's like Without a Trace, but it's with kids who are really taken."
Wow, man.
So,
there's family.
Man,
it's nice that CBS.
So there you go. That's,
you know, really, when, you know, that's always
company.
Nice when our network, you know, that's trumps the
guys.
Fox network.
That's our guys. And I don't have time to tell you about Sean Puffy Combs and John Kerry. Another day, another time. The man that shot himself in the testicles is in jail. But I don't have time to tell you that one either.
Well, he doesn't have that much time either.
Another day, another show.
Hasn't he suffered enough?
The Amazing Race was on last night. Let me see, who got kicked off? Oh, the old guy.
The father and the daughter combo.
And the daughter. And we'll have Brendan Swain not only come back, we'll analyze the highlights from last night's Amazing Race, and then get his prediction.
Yeah, I am just glad that the little person survived the hang gliding.
And, let me just throw this out. If you're a George Bush fan,
yes,
stay tuned to that.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A new o'clock, Warren.
Okay, I have an unhealthy fascination with Macaulay Culkin.
I know you do. A lot of healthy kids out there.
We're always trying to make ourselves safer in the car, right? Wear your seatbelt, drive the car with the airbags. Some things are out of your hand. That's why OnStar is a valuable service. OnStar.
Everything from calling you to make sure you're all right if your airbags go off, to calling emergency services for help, to locating your car if it's stolen. OnStar can do it all.
OnStar has the integrated cell phone. You don't need additional cell equipment. It's voice activated, hands free. You need that in the district. And now you get 30 minutes of OnStar personal calling with the purchase of any OnStar equipped GM vehicle.
1 year of OnStar Safe and Sound Plan, which includes a wide range of safety features, is included. It's fantastic, and I love OnStar. Just press the little button, and you're there, baby.
Let me see. Available in most markets. Go to OnStar.com for info and information. Thank you.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I think Sox had something to do with that decision.
It's not funny.
I beg your pardon?
What word do you have trouble with? You understand not? That's comfortable for you?
Yeah.
And funny, you've heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this doesn't work. You see, I think socks had something to do with that decision. See, now I'm laughing.
Well, laugh loud so you can cover for the rest of us.
Hey, hey, you like your job?
No.
Well, watch it. Let me go.
Oh, may I? Thank you. Come on, sir.
Watch it, asshole.
The Don and Mike Show.
Tough Guys, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Tough Guys.
Tough Guys.
Tough Guys, time for a station shout-out. All right, here we go. Portland, Maine. 970. WZAM, that's a good long time.
Hi, Alan.
You just saying hi to people walking by the window again?
Only when it's our boss.
Wausau, Wisconsin. WRIG.
Hi, Madonna.
Dallas, where it's midnight, live 105 FM, and Fresno, California, 105.9 KRNC. Those are some of the stations, and now on to the Amazing Race. The Amazing Race, which was on last night.
Yeah, those are just my shout-outs, Don.
Oh, as yeah. I read the stations, you just shout out to your favorite employees?
Yeah, if they're walking by the window at the time, yeah.
Well, when you call out Allen's name, make sure you say it the correct way. It's,
hi, Yalen.
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 Hi, this is Yalen.
This is Yalen.
Hey, Don, it's Yalen. We have a problem in the studio. Can you come down? Hi, it's Yalen.
How you doing, pal?
It's, hi, it's pal. Yalen.
It's Yalen.
Yalen Yeinwald. Hi. I'm Yalen Yeinwald. Hi.
He loves
Yalen. Yalen Yeinwald. Hey, Don. Yalen here.
Yalen.
I heard that bit. You better watch it. Yalen Yeinwald. Shout out to Yalen.
Hi, Yalen.
Okay. So the amazing race was on last night. Now, yeah. As per our deal with the devil with CBS, we're supposed to have our losers on every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, last night it was the dad and daughter combo. I don't know their names, but it was in the show is so fast paced and it's so frenetically edited that it's hard to keep track of who's who and who the names are.
So we don't have the losers this week because they're doing press. We have Brendan Swain, part of the first winning team of The Amazing Race. We'll ask him what he thinks in a moment, but first, a couple of cuts from last night's show. I told you, my favorite part was with the midget.
With the little person, the dwarf. Scott's going to come down here and attack you.
Well, Mike, everybody on the show calls her a midget, and how can you not call her a midget? When she's standing...
She's a dwarf.
When she's standing in line, you know, and she's pulling anything out to get that airline ticket to get on the 9:30 flight, mm-hmm. and she looks at the woman, I don't know what freaking foreign country they're in, but she says, need a doctori. Like what, you're going to go to a doctor because you're a midget? Need a...
Dwarf.
Need doctori. And uh-huh. she looks at the camera and she goes, works every time.
See, I have more contact with Scott the Dwarf than you do, so I have to endure the attack when I see him.
All right, then here's the girl and the shorty. Here they are, last night.
Neil and I are working well together.
Start up, hurry up, we're in a race.
Sometimes we're yelling at each other, but we know that in the end, we're always there for each other.
Right, okay, that's the little girl. Mm-hmm. Then you have Jim and Marcia. These are the father and daughter. Ended up getting kicked off.
Yeah.
Ironically, they said this early in the show.
Sharla, come on! I just got electrocuted!
Hey, what did you say?
You got electrocuted.
I got electrocuted!
What the hell was that?
No, I'm just...
What was that on?
I'm reading a sheet. Ironically, Jim and Marcia, father and daughter, say this at number five.
Well, I don't remember anybody getting electrocuted.
Okay, hold on. Oh, no. You know what? These are out of order.
Oh.
That's the midget getting electrocuted.
Right. Maybe it's
the dwarf.
That was out of order.
Yes.
Hold on. Cut number four. Let me try that.
Oh, Sharla, here it's getting very...
Oh,
no, see, that's where they get caught in the mud.
Maybe it's six.
Cut number five is... Okay, let's try... Yeah, this is it. Okay. Here's the people who lost.
We came from last place to third place, and we just feel like we're like the total comeback kids.
Okay, those are the people who lost.
That's ironic. Shame. Yeah.
Then here is the tape of the Dwidget.
Dwidget.
And incidentally, someone should sign her up for a remake of the movie Short Circuit. Here she is getting electrocuted. Like,
okay. I see that happened at the very beginning.
A problem with the live wire. Listen to this.
Sharla, come on.
She got electrocuted.
I got electrocuted!
All right, I missed the first 5 minutes of the damn show. What happened?
Mike, now, hold on.
When they left the villa or wherever,
right?
They had to drive on a muddy street.
Yeah.
She got out. She leaned against the fence, which was electrocuted.
Oh, my God.
It was good.
Now, the guys you liked, Mike, the brothers,
yeah,
here they are.
They're my favorites.
Here they are, taking the longest amount of time.
Okay. Last night.
Everybody's catching up to us. That's what I can do. Random luck.
Do it. Do it, guys. Fight them.
That's eating the chocolate.
You can do it, babe.
They take the
that was again. So funny because they got there earlier than a lot of the other teams, and they had to eat their way through all these chocolates.
This is a scene where they had to eat chocolate.
And find, like, a white center out of thousands of these black centers.
There was something in one of the... I said it looked like the Lucy show where the chocolates were coming
and
down.
And they only had a few that had white centers, and that's the one they had to find.
All right, so here are your brothers again commenting about the chocolate roadblock.
Going through those chocolates one by one, and at the same time watching all these people come in and get the white chocolate, it's a total feeling of helplessness.
Sure.
You do know what the color white is, right?
Yeah. See, and what I liked about it, in their most desperate time, those two brothers had a sense of humor, and I enjoyed that.
Finally, here are the losers. These are the people that we would have had on today. We'll have the losers on again next Wednesday.
Okay, very good.
But here are the losers, Jim and Marcia, being told... They're last to arrive, they lose.
Jim and Marcia, you're the last team to arrive. I'm sorry to tell you, you've both been eliminated from the race.
Ouch.
You won that, buddy. Right. You proud of your dad?
No.
It took a lot of guts to keep going.
You stink, Dad.
To try to keep up with me.
You and your bum leg.
To try not to let me down, which I know he was
with. Loser. Bastard. I wish you weren't my father.
Don, unfortunately, none of that dialogue uttered last night on The Amazing Race.
So all of that is from The Amazing Race, our favorite show. And we should have had those losers on. They're on a press junket.
You know, of all the people to not have on, if we miss one week...
I agree.
I could care less.
It's like we could talk to somebody just like that old man if we answered any of our phones that are ringing right now.
Yeah, I think there are more spirited contestants in the competition.
Hey, Brandon, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, now here, everybody, here's Brennan Swain now. He was part of the very first winning team of The Amazing Race.
Boy, they make you guys jump through hoops, Brendan, don't they?
Yeah, they certainly do. And I'll tell you what, 5 seasons later, I've only missed one episode in the 5 seasons,
wow.
But I'll tell you, I sit on the edge of my seat, and I get nervous myself just watching everything that they have to do now.
Now, Brandon, is it true or false, Beth Ann wrote me a note here, that your prediction for this year's Amazing Race with these dopes that just lost last night?
Yeah, well, you know what, I thought that they seemed like they'd be a strong team. You know, you've got the military dad. I figured he might get the daughter into shape, but it turns out that she was kind of the leader of the team.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about last night, the military dad and the daughter, it seems to me that the way this show is constructed, that there's always a reasonable chance through each leg of the competition that somebody can catch up. And I got the impression last night when they got screwed at the airport and they were the last ones to fly out that they never had a chance to really come back. Did you get that impression when you were watching that?
Yeah, I kind of did too.
Right.
A lot of times what ends up happening when teams catch up is when they leave on a later in the day on the leg, there might be something that doesn't open until the morning, and that's when teams kind of catch up to one another.
Right.
But unfortunately, this time, really, the catch-up point was the airport. So once they got behind there...
They were done.
And, yeah, because it was such an early flight. You know, the flights were all in the morning, and I did think to myself, they're going to have a hard time catching up.
Now, the numbers for the show are great. It's like the only reality show that's really getting a big audience. Do you feel, you watched the show, you were on the first one, you won the first one. Do you think it's a problem that there's nobody, I can't find anyone out there of all the groups that are left that I'm really rooting for. Mike likes
I like the
brothers.
I like the brothers and I like the black couple that are on there right now. Are they married, the man and wife? I think they're husband and wife.
Yeah, right.
Those two, I like the brothers because they have a sense of humor.
I can't find anybody that I'm rooting for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, except...
No,
you know.
I think, you know, and you guys mentioned it when you were talking about it before.
The Dwidget.
The beginning of the season, it's so fast-paced. There's so much going on. It is kind of hard to separate some of the teams.
It and, really is. I had a hard time.
What about the Dwidget factor? First, with the Dwidget, what do you think the other people on the show think? From a perspective of someone who's playing The Amazing Race, yeah. Is it a positive or is it a negative to have a Dwidget play?
From a viewer standpoint? Like
standpoint? From someone who's playing.
From a viewer's standpoint, it's a positive.
Yeah, but from a player standpoint, is it a positive or a negative?
When I had a chance to go to the actual starting line this year and watch, and the first thing I thought is, there's no way she's going to be able to keep up. And then when they had the actual start, you know, they were the last team to get to their bags by a mile. But I tell you what, one of the things I really like about them is the fact that they are just as determined as can be.
They're tenacious.
Because it's so minute to minute in this thing, you've always got to be on the ball, you've always got to be running, you've always got to be doing everything as quickly as possible, and they've been really good at that. So,
you know, do you think people, do you think people underestimate her?
Well, I think they did at first. That's I think now three episodes in, I don't think they will anymore. They finished second the last two episodes.
Can we hear the tape again if we're getting electrocuted?
She's incredibly strong.
Here she is. Here she is.
We came from last place to third place.
No, that's
and
the father.
Feel like
that's the one that was mislabeled. Here she is getting electrocuted.
Carla, come on! I just got electrocuted! What did you say?
You got electrocuted.
I got electrocuted!
it's kind of like she's the little dwarf that could. It's like she's happy that she got electrocuted.
Well, there are dwarves and there are dwarves. She has amazing strength. She's proven that a couple of times when she was...
Most all dwarves do, Mike.
Yeah, that's right. And hit them on the head and they turn into 50 gold coins. I know. All right.
What did you win? What is the prize? Is the prize $1 million, Brennan, for the Amazing Race? Is it a half million?
It is $1 million. And I think one of the things I like about Race is they don't really dwell on that. In Survivor, everyone knows that it's $1 million. On this, yeah, you win $1 million, but it's more of a prize to be able to race all the way around the world and see everything.
And they seem everybody that's involved with it does seem to have their own issues where they're out to prove something, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What were you out to prove? You won the first one. What were you out to prove?
Well, my team, Rob and I, my teammate, we were the lawyers. So I guess we were out to prove that lawyers aren't the asses that everybody thinks.
Well, you didn't succeed because you won.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, we started off in a hole, but by the end of the season, we were one of the more well-liked teams. So that always made me feel good.
And the last thing I'd like to ask, I know that they chop those shows up and they put the dramatic music in, but the one thing about The Amazing Race is it seems to move at an incredible speed. Is the show in reality as hectic as they make it appear the way they edit it and put it together?
Everything that they show absolutely is. There are definitely the downtimes. I mean, you know, we're on a train in India for 12 hours. They're going to show us get on the train. They're going to show maybe one instance on the train and show us get off the train. So there's a lot of downtime there. But when it comes to performing the tasks, when it comes to trying to get tickets to the airport like last night, those types of things, it is that hectic.
Do they ever? Do the crews that you're working with, the camera crews, they ever cut you a little slack? Producers let you say, you know, here's a little downtime or maybe you can have a little party in?
Well, about the only time that happens is on the pit stops between. You know, they always show that at the beginning. They say where the teams get a chance to eat, sleep, and mingle, and then they'll show a shot of all the teams sitting at a table, kind of you know, laughing a little bit or eating something. That's really about the only downtime you get that's production-induced.
And now that your team, the old guy and the daughter, have been eliminated, now who do you think will win?
You know, it's a tough call at this point. I would have to say, I think I'm going to put it behind Colin and Christy. Colin, he's the guy that was really intense that looks like he could pretty much stare the mane off a lion. But he looked like he could be a tough racer.
Is that the guy? Are they the ones that finished first last night?
They did, yeah.
Yeah, I would bank on them. I think they're going to be terrific.
And Brendan, can we seem instantly cool if we call it Race like you did instead of The Amazing Race? I mean, because I noticed you just threw that
I like Race.
On Race, you know, in previous seasons of Race.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Some people call it Tar, you know, which is short for The Amazing Race.
Tar.
Tar. Okay. All right, and Rob, don't even think it.
Don't even think it. Behave yourself.
All right. Baby.
That's Rob's show. Race is Rob's show that he has in production.
Brain. Brain. I called him Brain. Brennan, thank you for being on the show.
No problem.
Oh, and last thing. Could you please estimate the IQ of who's the male model guy on the show?
The host?
Yeah, the guy, the tool. Please, seriously, what do you think that guy's IQ is?
You mean Phil, the host of the show?
Yeah, Phil.
You know what? He's actually, I always feel bad because on the show he's got to say everything so straight-laced, but in real life, he's a crack-up, a great guy, fun guy to be around.
And I do. The chicks seem to dig his style.
Yeah. So they definitely do.
He's better.
He's that mysterious one. I think that's why they like him.
He's better than Jeff Probst, don't you?
I like him better than Probst, yes.
Did you notice last night that the Fidget's cousin was fixing her hair right before they arrived because she wanted to look good for Phil?
That cracks me up in every episode so far.
That's Rob's name.
Right. It's from The Little Rascal.
I'm bringing. All right, you know what? I'm giving Scott a ride down here now.
Okay.
Scotty the dwarf's coming down. He's kicking both your butts.
Okay, listen, Brennan, thank you for joining us.
All right, guys. Any week that a team's not going to be on there might not be eliminated. I'd love to join you.
Hey, thank you very much. Hey, that's nice.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys.
See ya. Bye-bye. Hopefully that will happen again. We'll get the losers on again next week.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, you know, there's part of me rooting for and part of me not, but wouldn't it be great?
Sharla, come on!
To get her on.
He's electrocuted! Hey, what did you say?
He got electrocuted.
I got
that's from The Amazing Race last night.
And isn't that the best? I mean, really, seriously, Charlotte is the best part of the show.
Bridget.
I'm bringing him down. He's going to stand up on a chair. He's going
to
hit you.
When we come back, I hate to get political on your ass, but we will.
Yes.
When we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
106.7.
Wow.
Kicks ass.
Yeah, baby.
Sing her name.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, jam singers.
WKFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
It happened on one of them zippity-doo-dah days. Now, that's the kind of day when you can't open your mouth without a song.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi there.
They share common interests. Don and Mike.
Right, right. Okay. I said we get political on your ass, but not the way you think. There's the man.
We're concerned about AIDS inside our White House. Make no mistake about it.
There's a man out there who I shunned yesterday. I want to try to make it up to him because he's still a friend.
Okay.
Come on in, George. How are you? Sorry about yesterday.
I understand you've made sort of a change in your political direction.
Well, the guy from the Republican Party came in. You know, I switched 4 years ago.
I don't understand why you've decided to, at this crucial time, make that change.
Well,
we'd like to have you back. I'm ready to actually bring you back into the fold, son. Don't you understand?
These are
trying times, and I've come by for a little Don and Mike stress release.
I cannot vote for you, but I can offer you some stress release.
There's plenty of time. I'd like to explain that to you. There's time before the November something or other election. I think that you ought to give that some serious thought.
No, I think you need what I
still
got right
I
here.
I still appreciate your support in the last election. And it was a matter of 500 votes. That's why I appreciate you personally supporting me and my campaign.
Yeah, I'm going the other way this time.
I'd like to offer an apology.
Well, hi, baby.
Hi, baby.
1-900-258-4-OUT.
Now, are you ready for some relaxing fun?
This is a good way for me to reach out and talk to constituents.
Regardless of how anybody feels about voting for you or Kerry.
What would the?
I figured we've been friends so long. You needed some relaxation.
What with the trials and
tribulations.
There you go. That's the one I was looking for, son. I need with the 9/11 commission. I need to relax and enjoy myself. And I know that you have access with your wide scope of entertainment possibilities.
Let me.
You've got access to these.
You're not allowed to call the dirty lines from the White House, right?
That's why I've left today and come down to your fine studio on this fine show to not only say hi to my friend Wendell Hall, but also to come in here and talk to the ladies.
Oh, I got to tell them they're on the air.
Yeah, all right.
That's the first thing.
That's right.
And then once I do that,
to go one on one with a sexy girl,
I would request one on one action
to join the 24-hour orgy party line.
Now you're not supposed to let that stuff slip through.
Right. Press 3 to speak live with other hot callers.
My power base.
99 per minute.
Does not
to listen to private uncensored.
It's not like the orgy word.
Right. Press 1.
Remember to get back to the main menu.
If I don't like her, I can switch. Right.
Right.
And I can talk to any girl I want.
Press star.
Real excited about this. Please don't mention that orgy thing.
Let me tell them that they're on the air.
That's quite a long ring.
Wow. Yeah, Don and Mike, you're on the air with George.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, this is Heather.
Heather, this is George.
Is anybody there?
Yeah, I'm George. Can you hear me, Heather?
Oh, there you go.
Hello.
Heather, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
My name is George. Can you say hi, yeehaw, George?
Hey, yeehaw, George.
That's good to hear you. How you been, Heather?
I've been doing really good.
Heather, I've got a dilemma. I'm wondering if you could assist me in my current dilemma situation.
Okay.
You see, I've got a very high-powered and high-stress occupation that requires me to relax and talk to fine people like yourself. May I ask how old are you, Heather?
Yes, I am 19.
19 years old.
Ask her how she feels about voting.
Are you a voter, Heather?
Yes.
I hope I'm not getting too personal on you right here, but I've got a question for you that I'd sure like answered. Do you think you could help me out, Heather? I'm here to be helped out. Do you think you can help me out?
I'll do my very best.
Could you share with me who you're going to be voting for in the upcoming presidential election?
It's a phone call.
Wow, you are that serious, aren't you?
I'm very serious because there are serious problems that face our nation, Heather, but along with my ability to relax, I still keep my eyes on the prize. And I'd really like to ask you, Heather, is there a chance you could share with me that vital information as to what lever you will pull when you enter the voting booth on election day?
Oh, wow. Can I ask you what the prize is, what the big prize is for you?
I will tell you what the prize is, Heather. It would give me a great deal of pleasure to tell you that the prize will be my undying love, admiration, and support. Granted, you make the right choice. Could you share that with me, Heather? When you walk into the voting booth, who will you be voting for in our nation's most important election?
You've called Dairy Pillows.
Dairy Pillows.
Dairy Pillows is the number of the sex line.
May I ask you one question before you answer my question?
Yes.
How are the Dairy Pillows today?
Very nice.
Very nice. Well, let me get back to the... what's that, Heather? I interrupted you. I walked all over you, darling.
That's okay. And very full.
Very full.
Yeah.
It's very, very exciting for me, Heather. I'd like to know now if you could please... I'm on pins and needles. I got to tell you something, son. This is real exciting for me right now. I'm dying to know who you're going to be voting for in the upcoming most important election of our lifetime.
What do you feel like is the most important of our lifetime?
Well, I could go on and on, Heather. If you'd like, I could give you the lecture that these are trying times that try men's souls, and I feel it's very necessary for me to communicate to every member of my contingency, including constituency.
Are you getting turned on as well?
Yeah, I am, especially when I can give a political speech in this environment. I will tell you, calling the Dairy Pillow line has really given me a great deal of insight into the youth of America, and since you are 19 and you will be probably voting in your first presidential election, I once again must ask you, Heather, what side will you be siding with?
19 and you recently had your first period.
Hello there, Heather.
I'm here.
Yes, could you share that with me? I have some advice to you, Heather.
Okay.
Vote for the familiar, even if it's too stupid.
And why is that?
Could you quote me on that, Heather? Let's see if
that
we can...
That is for the familiar.
No, hold on a second. Let's go over it very slowly. I will take my time in that I've been briefed that on some of these lines, you must speak slowly and clearly in order to get through to certain levels of IQ. Vote. Will you repeat after me, Heather?
Yes.
Vote for the familiar.
Vote for the familiar.
Even if it's too stupid.
Even if it's too stupid.
Don't stop. Repeat after me, Heather. Heather, are you with me, darling?
Don't stop.
Yes.
All right, repeat after me. We're going to take it from the top, all right? Here we go. Let's do it one more time. Vote for the familiar.
Vote for the familiar.
Even if it's too stupid.
Even if it's too stupid.
Don't stop.
Vote for the familiar.
No, I'm sorry. I'm telling you, Heather, we have to get the second part of this. Repeat everything I'm saying. That is how you will learn the lesson of the day. Are you ready?
Don't you want to ask her what she's wearing?
Hold on just a second, Don. We're going to get through to her.
Okay.
Don't stop. Repeat after me. Don't stop.
Don't stop.
The speeding train.
The speeding train.
Of mediocrity.
Of mediocrity.
Very good. And one final thing. Repeat after me, Heather. Are you ready?
Yes.
Repeat after me. Crooked businessman.
Crooked business.
We'll learn you good.
We'll learn you good.
There you go. Now, Heather, what are you wearing?
Wow.
Could you tell me what you're wearing right now?
Yes.
Share it with me. Share, because it's important. Even though I'm a man of... I'm old enough to be your father.
You know, you never asked who she's voting for.
Okay, I have on a very form-fitting skirt.
A form-fitting skirt?
Yes. It's white. very sheer.
You wait, start again. A form-fitting skirt. What are you topping that skirt off with?
It's a pink shirt.
A pink shirt?
Yes, it falls off of my shoulders.
It falls off of the shoulders?
Yes. So my neck and my
your neck.
Shoulders are exposed.
So your neck and your shoulders are exposed?
Yes.
I find that a very fetching outfit. Now, I know that I like what you're wearing so far, but you know, I'm an aficionado of footwear. Could you describe for me what are you wearing on those beautiful feet of yours?
I have on about a 3-inch sandal, which is very strappy.
A 3-inch sandal, very strappy.
And who's yes. she voting for?
And who are you voting for, Heather?
I am voting for the familiar, even if it's too stupid.
Oh, Heather.
No.
Oh, I just, oh, man, darling. Darling, I just have to say, you sound like a right-thinking American. You're voting for the familiar, even too stupid, and I think that is something very special. And you were wearing a pink top, exposing your neck and shoulders with a form-fitting skirt. I tell you, what color is the form-fitting skirt?
It's white.
White. Pink and white. What a lovely color. It's the color of springtime.
You know, yeah. I could have some fun if you just tell you she's got to go on hold for 1 second.
Can you go on hold for just 1 second, Heather?
Yes.
I have to take another important call.
Hold on. Oh. Let me pick up for a second.
All right, very good.
Tell her something. Hold on a second.
Very exciting.
Sure is.
Very special.
Secret Service, hello. Hello?
He seems very patriotic.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, dear.
This is the Secret Service.
You can't do that, son.
Oh, you can't do that?
No, you can. You cannot do that, son. Tell her it is not.
It's not the Secret Service.
You will have a world of hurt on your ass,
hello?
Son. I tell you, you'll come down on you.
I'm not really the
Secret Service. That green corn through the new
I'm
maid.
Not the Secret Service, but I'm a friend of the guy that's on the phone.
See if she can guess who it is.
Can you get... I was wrong to say it's the Secret Service. I don't really work for the Secret Service. I work for Halicon. Can you tell me something? Do you have any idea who the...
What company is Halicon?
Or Halliburton.
Halliburton. Halliburton.
Are you on... I am on Halcyon.
Do you have any idea the very important man that you were speaking to that I had to bring to a room because he couldn't make the call where he works? Have any idea who you've been talking to? You have no idea.
Oh.
Let's see if we can play the guessing game.
Okay, I'm going to put him back on.
I love to play guessing game. Word games are not my forte,
please,
but
remember,
I love guessing game.
I'm not with the Secret Service. I'm just a friend of this guy's. But, okay, I'm going to put you back on with him, and we'll see if you can figure out who he is. Hold on. He's famous. Let me just give you a hint. He's a movie star. Okay?
All right, now we're going to do something real fun. I tell you, Don, can I just say thank you before we proceed?
Sure.
This is causing me to release a lot of my stress, and I'm very, very, very excited.
Here we go.
Heather, are you there, darling?
There she is.
Heather, are you with me?
Yes.
Heather, I got to ask you something. This is important before we proceed with one of my favorite guessing games. Do you smell sweet like Texas?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Let's play the guessing game right now, all right? You can ask.
I don't know if you can still hear me, but you kind of faded out on me.
I faded out on you. You can ask me a question now, Heather, and I will answer. You can ask three questions, and then I will let you guess and see if you can guess who I am. Are you ready for your three questions? Have you had time to mentally prepare them, although it might be a great challenge to you? Could you prepare them? Are your questions
yes.
prepared, Heather?
Yes.
Fire away. Question number one. I await. Ask me a question, Heather.
Who are you going to vote for?
I will be voting for the incumbent.
A second question.
And what are you not stopping for?
What am I not stopping for? I'm not stopping the speeding train of mediocrity.
Third question.
And who can you count on?
You can count on the man that's there right now looking out for you.
Now listen, Heather. Hi, it's me, the friend again. Do you have any idea at all the famous man you're speaking to?
No.
Well, the three questions have been asked, Heather, and now it is the guessing game, and it's time for you to delve into your mental powers and try to come up with the man you're speaking with. Go ahead, Heather. What is your guess?
I want to tell you something. He's involved in politics.
Okay.
Way to spoil the game. Now I think you've
still got the house money.
Well, I know it's not Bush. I know it's not Kerry. I know it's not the mayor of California.
Hold on. How do you know? Hold on a second.
Mayor of California. You mean Mayor Schwarzenegger? Oh, you sweet, doughy-headed Heather.
You just, you know, it's something about that accent, you know?
Yes. Heather, can I ask you a question about our educational system in the United States?
Absolutely.
When did the time come when you decided not to pay attention in school?
To be honest, there never was a time.
There never was a time.
No. I did very well in school.
You mean you were a good student?
Yes, I was an excellent student.
Are you still a good student?
Yes, I am.
Hold on. I'm going to have to tell her who you are. Hold on, please.
All right. You are as sharp as a sack of wet mice.
Hello, ma'am.
Hello, okay, ma'am.
Ma'am?
She's my kind of lady.
Yeah. Hello, lady?
I feel like we are connected.
Hey, ma'am?
I do.
That's good.
Hello? You know, I don't know if she can't hear on the hands.
I don't understand. She's on.
Hey, Heather?
Huh?
Heather, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, all right, I don't know what the problem with this is. I have to tell you, the man that you've been speaking to, and you must promise to keep this a secret.
No, you mustn't reveal my identity. You must make up my alias. The one that I wrote down
for you. This is Dan Quayle.
Hi. How are you? I'm Dan Quayle.
I'm doing fantastic.
I cannot spell potato. I could spend days practicing my times tables with her. What is 5 times 5? Heather, answer my question. This is, I tell you, no child left behind. What is 5 times 5?
5.
What?
25.
Bravo, Heather.
Very nice. That is
very awesome.
Nice. All right, listen, George, Dan, we got to go now.
I'd just like to say, Heather, you with your pink top and your form-fitting skirt and your strappy sandals, you have made my day. How tall are you, darling?
I'm 5'7".
I wish that you will go into that voting booth and you will do the right thing. 12 times 12. 12 times 12. Ooh, almost completion. Please answer it correctly. 12 times 12, Heather, you'll make an old man's day.
Are you serious?
I'm totally serious.
What is 12 times 12?
You guys have
two. She doesn't know the answer.
No.
I am unable to satisfactorily conclude this call.
I think she just said 64.
No, I said 144.
144. Heather, darling.
Oh, Heather, thank you. Listen. Would it surprise you to tell you the guy you were speaking to, his initials are GB? GWB?
No.
GWB. Why don't you stew on that one as you go off into dreamland, dreaming your pretty thoughts from pretty Heather's brain?
Thank you, Heather.
I'll send you a presidential...
Are you guys like on a radio show or something?
Oh, she's a smart one.
It's kind of what we said up front, yeah.
Take care, Heather. I'll send you a presidential wet nap.
Okay, bye-bye.
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 There she goes. Oh, man, that's fantastic. Man, dumb as a yard of cotton candy.
Let's do a phone scan here.
I love your show, Don.
We got enough time for a mini phone scan. Anybody can call.
Anybody can call.
No matter what your agenda, we don't screen these calls. 877-365-3636.
And my condolences on the loss of Carmi, the CBS Hawk.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, George. Great to have you come by.
Great to be. And when's Pinko doing the news?
In about 20 minutes.
I'll turn the dial down when he does that.
Right. Yeehaw!
There he goes.
Boy, you know, we lucked in to the best phone ho, didn't we?
Lovely Heather.
She's the best. Mm-hmm. Phone scan, your calls lie straight ahead.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Bob Costas, and I want to make this abundantly clear. I never listen to Don Geronimo, whose name sounds bogus to me to begin with, and or Mike O'Mara. And if I were ever in whatever city their program airs, happens to be Washington, I'm told, state of Washington or Washington, D.C.?
Washington, D.C.
If I'm ever in Washington, D.C., I will make a specific effort to avoid listening to this program.
Shut up!
Could you just say hi to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara? It's the radio show I work for.
Hey, Don Geronimo and Michael who?
Mike O'Mara.
Michael Merriman?
No, Mike O'Mara.
Oh, Michael Mary.
Mike O'Mara.
And meanwhile, he's heard his name pretty good so far, right?
Shut up!
The Don and Mike Show. Hi, this is Donny Osmond, and I never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. Hi, this is Donny Osmond, and I never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. Hi, this is Donny Osmond. I never listen to it. I can't do it. Hi, this is Donny Osmond, and I never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I did it.
Shut up!
I bet something really good is getting ready to happen to you today.
Right.
Thanks to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Shut up! Okay. Let's get right to your call. On the rotating random phone scan. 877-365-3636. Well, you're rubbing your hands together?
Rubbing my hands together because I'm getting ready for the calls.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's going to be golden.
I agree.
It's going to be golden.
Here we go. Get ready for some home runs.
Get ready to be showered with golden material.
Unscreen calls from our loyal listeners. Hello.
Hey.
Don and Mike show, you're on the air.
Hey, fellas. I was wondering if I could get a hold of Nicole Richie's phone number, the young lady you just got the phone with.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike show, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hey,
look, I'm in Fresno. How are you doing?
You're in Fresno?
We have a brand new affiliate in Fresno,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, 105.9.
How's the show sounding out there in Fresno?
Pretty good. It's on FM. I've been listening to on Bakersfield, and it sounds like crap because it's on it. AM.
Right. Well, 105.9 would indicate FM as opposed to AM.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. It sounds
like... What?
You guys sound a lot different on that.
We were getting some interference. I keep getting the same bit of interference.
I don't know what's going on.
Can we get high? Pardon me?
No, nothing. Hey, Rob, did you watch Ali G?
No, Rob hates the Ali G show.
Da Ali G show.
Oh, Don and Mike show. That's how it's presented. Yeah.
Da Ali G show. That's right.
It's funny. You should watch it. He is funny.
Da Ali G show.
He's not as funny as Chappelle. There really is no show on TV as far as entertainment.
Right.
It's funnier than Dave Chappelle's show.
I got to check it out.
Every night. And really, if you want a treat, get the DVD.
Really?
And get the uncensored stuff.
Okay, good.
It's so much more than the Rick James joke. Rob, don't shake your head.
Rob doesn't like Chappelle.
Come on.
I don't know why.
You gotta like somebody.
You know who's funny?
Who?
Merv Griffin.
Merv Griffin. Doesn't like Chappelle, Bernie Mac.
Pick at least a mulatto that you like. Who's funny? You work on that during this month.
I got it for him already.
Who?
Sinbad.
Well, no, Sinbad is not really... He's an orange auto. Because Sinbad is more orange than black or white.
I love Sinbad.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, I'd like to say that I, too, will be voting in favor of meteorocracy this fall, just like our phone ho. Did you guys catch that when she said that?
Did she say meteorocracy?
Meteorocracy.
I almost ran my car off the road when I heard her say that.
That's a hard word to say even when you practice it.
All right, thanks. Good one.
There's
a chime for you.
Flip Wilson is funny.
God. Rob, he is trapped in the early 1970s.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yes, that's why I said
hey,
Don and Mike show.
You know, before you go on, sir, I saw an infomercial. Have you seen the infomercial for the Dean Martin show hosted by Regis?
Oh, I've seen it.
Hosted by Regis?
I've seen it, because, you know, Regis is gay.
I knew Dean. I love Dean.
He is gay for Dean Martin.
You know, before my show, I listened to Dean.
Every day.
Every single day.
In my dressing room, while Michael Gelman comes over.
I'm Regis Philbin, known whore.
Hello. What can we do for you?
Don and Mike.
Yes.
Hey, I just got back to Sacramento from L.A. That weather girl, Lisa Joyner.
Yeah.
Hot tamales.
Mm-hmm. Boy, isn't she? And today... She had on just a little pink top with little spaghetti straps. It's very cold in the KCBS studios. And towards the end when they were doing the thing saying, we know you have a choice in the news, thanks for watching, she had on a sweater.
And
boo to that.
No.
But I'm telling you, here's another untapped jewel on KCBS Channel 2 in Los Angeles the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Pleased to be checking out... The sweater of Vera Jimenez.
Vera Jimenez?
She is a woman who does the traffic. And here's what Vera does. She wears very tight-fitting tops.
Right.
And she's always at a side angle.
Oh.
As she's pointing out wherever the construction is.
Part of her job.
And, you know, I went through this with my wife this morning.
Uh-huh.
There were two things with Frida that she thought were moronic with my television viewing.
Uh-huh.
One was last night. She said,
was one of them when you have your nose pressed up against the screen?
First was last night. She said, let's watch Extreme Makeover. Uh-huh. Let's see these women that you had on the show.
Right.
So I watched it for about 10 minutes, and I said, okay, that's fine. I'll see you in a little while. So I pour myself a drink, go in the other room. You know what's on the NFL channel? Now, this is a great idea. They're taking games from like 5 years ago.
Right.
A game that would last 3.5 hours, and they cut it down to 2 hours.
Good. Brilliant.
So every single play, it's like first and 10 for the Packers. Favre hands off to Green. That's a 2-yard gain. You don't have to wait because they splice it and they splice the audio up.
Bingo, bingo, bingo.
So you're watching again. She comes in and she says, okay, what are you watching that's better than this? And I said, darling, I'm watching football. She said, now, football doesn't start. How could you be watching football? I said, this is a game that was played 4 years ago. She said, do you know the outcome of the game? I said, oh, yeah, I remember. It was Michael Vick against Green Bay. It was an overtime game. She said, why are you watching it? I said, because they cut it down to 2 hours.
Right.
She said, forget it. And she shut the door. So then this morning, yeah, forget it.
I'm halfway home.
This morning, I'm in the same room where I do show prep and read the newspaper and get on the internet, drink my coffee. She comes in, and she hears the weather. And she said, 86 and 92 at the beaches. What station are you? And she says, oh, are you watching the Los Angeles station?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, I am. And she said, why do you watch it? I said, because it has all the same news as my station here.
And you're curious about the weather in Los Angeles.
Yeah. And, well, she knows how I feel about Lisa Joyner.
Right. Uh-huh.
And she gave her the once-over today. She said, she's not even your type.
Really?
I said, there's something about her. She's got something. I said, and
we have to get her on the show. You know, we can get her on the show.
And in the promos, she has longer hair. Now she's got short hair. I said, and look at, she was wearing her little spaghetti top, so now she's got to have a robe on.
And then a sweater.
Rita said, what are you doing in here? And I said, and look at the other one, Vera Jimenez. Mm-hmm. Boy, is she cute. I said, you know, if like Channel 4 hired some cute girls.
Not going to happen.
No, and no. Then I think she said something to me that I really can't repeat.
Mm.
That she said, so it was something nice, but at the same time, it was something mean. Something like, well, you know, the great thing about you is that you have the creative side of your brain that really works so well. But then sometimes I wonder what you do with the other side of your brain. It was something like that. I'm just like half listening. Okay,
sure.
See ya.
Whatever.
Anyway, her question was, why would you watch a football game 5 years old that you've already seen, taped, and edited down? I said, well, because there was nothing else on.
Right.
And then why every day do you get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and watch the news out of California on a Los Angeles station?
It's the abstract painting that is you.
Mm-hmm. It's Lisa Joyner, man. I'm telling you. She is one hot little weathercast.
Now, if you could get Lisa Joyner to play in one of those football games.
Watch out.
Wow.
Katie barred the door.
Yeah, but she'd get all banged up without the pads.
She'd have to buy me a new belt. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello? Phone scam, hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air, hey.
Hey.
Hey. I want to say something. You're really helping the energy right now in this segment.
Can we help you with anything?
Yeah, I'm just calling to get the iPod.
Get out of here. You stop it.
Yeah, but at least he wasn't greedy.
I know.
But nobody gets an iPod today. What do you think of that?
Uh-huh.
We really did give away two
a
yesterday.
A little crazy yesterday.
We gave away one to that lady's mom and one to her brother.
Mm-hmm.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey guys, how's it going?
It's going great, my friend.
Good, good. Hey, ow, god damn it. I just smashed my finger. Ow. Mike, can you blow on it? Oh, God, you kiss it.
Okay, he's doing some kind of bit there.
Yeah, we got to edit those guys out.
Another one. He might have been going like down the road to a Caddyshack, too.
Yeah, but you suck the poison out. Yeah. Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Hello?
This is the Don and Mike show.
You know, it was all
fantastic.
Going...
fantastic. Are you boys still cleaning out house on those tapes?
It was really going so well.
Yeah. It was. Excuse me?
Are you still cleaning out house on those tapes? I got a Wayne Newton request.
Cleaning out house
on our tapes. Yes.
Well, at the beginning of the show, you said you had a bunch of tapes that you're
going to throw
out. Slowly
but surely, yes, we're going through our tape collection. Yes.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Canada, of course. Yeah. We're a little bit...
So that's why you say cleaning out house.
Out.
Yeah, why? What do you call it?
As cleaning the house. Cleaning the house.
Cleaning
the or cleaning
right, sure.
house, cleaning anyway, outhouse.
Anyway, yes, in fact, Mexico North, we are going through our tapes.
Starting to come around on Canada, Rob.
We're getting the ones that we don't think we need anymore now that we're computerized. What is your question?
All right, well, there's this one Wayne Newton tape where he says, I'm Wayne Newton, and I want to talk to you. I need to get that on tape.
I don't know if we can help you with that. Incidentally, how are the plans going?
Pretty good. Can I have two iPods?
No. The plan's going. Do you know what I'm talking about? See, the operative would
the
be...
the invasion?
Yeah.
We're loading up the canoe.
Don't right, pretend you don't know. All what right, we're going to do is we're going to take all the dead cartridges and stack them up along the
all right,
board.
So what you wanted was the tape of Wayne Newton saying, hi, this is Wayne Newton.
And I want to talk to you.
Will that make you happy and make you go away now?
Can I have three iPods?
No, but do you really want to hear the tape or not?
Yes, I do. That's
the
reason why.
He needs to record it. Are you recording?
Hello?
I'm waiting for it.
Are you recording?
Are you rolling?
Yep. All right. You tell me when.
Start it now.
Right now. I'll make sure to get it.
Start the tape recorder now.
Roll it.
I'm recording. I hit record and play, because if you just hit record, it won't work.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay, here you go.
Hi, Frank. It's Wayne Rogers.
No. Hold on.
Wait.
Shut up!
Enjoy the tape. We'll give you one last word. We got to run.
What?
I just...
Yeah. Hi. Don on my show. Hello. Phone scam.
It's the weakest part of our continent.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
I love the international.
Gentlemen.
Hi there. You're on the air.
And, of course, hello to Rob Bay as well. Anyway.
what can we do for you?
Would you
like a Band-Aid, Rob?
I would.
Because I know you're bleeding from that wound.
That was tough.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. I know how much you guys love your FCC. And we up here in Canada, we have a...
Another! We cannot have back-to-back Canadians!
I'm sorry.
I've come full circle on Canada.
Shut up! I love Canada. No, I don't. I hate Canada.
Anything sweeter than the pause for the laugh that doesn't come?
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Tough break, Nanook.
Hello.
Hello there. You're on the air.
Nanook.
Don and Mike.
Yes!
Hey, Radio Gods.
Okay, that's the third time you've said Don and Mike. You said yes. You said Radio Gods. You said yes. What can we do for you?
Well, I want to thank Lisa Joyner's parents for what they produced. And Rob Bay, kiss the rings.
Kiss the rings.
Rob Bay,
what does that mean? Does anyone know what that means?
Oh, I'm sure it has something to do with something bad.
With the something very bad.
Kiss Germany the or something. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
The rings.
Hello. This is the Don and Mike Radio Show.
Hello.
Show that accepts live calls from anybody. What can we do for you?
Hello. How are you doing?
We're doing great. You are on the air.
Great. I just thought I'd call and say hi.
Hi.
And
really glad.
I thought I'd slow your show down a little bit.
Impossible, my friend. Right now, you're coming off like Bill Gates.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
We got to fly, though. Final word. Come on.
Okay. Shut up!
We
still love that joke with people. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
This is Shannon.
Yeah. Hello, Shannon? Did you say this is Shannon?
Yep.
Did you just say this is Shannon?
I did.
Bad soul.
Shannon in the morning.
Shannon?
Yes.
What can we do for you, honey?
Well, I just want to say that there's...
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
We will never know.
What, Shannon?
More to these the Ronstadt. Yes.
Shannon, how many bars do you have on your phone?
Have you seen that ad, Shannon, with the guy?
Yes.
Right.
Do you have weak service right now, Shannon?
We're having real trouble hearing you, Shannon.
And she's
Shannon.
Yeah.
Where is she?
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, K-Life Radio, KIQQ-FM, Los Angeles, signs off the air forever.
Shut up! Wrong Shannon.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
I don't know. And the thing that Rod wanted to say something important, I think, about Linda Ronstadt. Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Right.
Hey, guys. What's up? This is Adam from Harrisonburg.
Hi there, Adam.
Hey, I was just calling to let you know I'm from Harrisonburg and I don't need an iPod.
Oh, isn't that nice? Thank you.
Thank you very hard. Hi. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes. Oh, hello. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is me.
Hi. Yeah, hi. You're on the air. You're on the air.
I am.
Ed Way, and you're the last caller. So what did you want to say? Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say hello and talk to... Just say hello. Uh-huh.
Well, consider that done.
Yeah. Rob, I wish everyone had a TV picture of Rob's head right now.
No.
Just the look on Rob's face.
I want to talk to him about the dentist, actually.
Yeah, I know the kind of woman you are. When we start talking, that's when you want to talk.
Listen, darling.
Hello?
What did you want to speak about?
Is this real?
Is this real what? That's what I'm wondering as well. Are you wondering if this is us? This is really us.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm finding
it
hard.
Well, listen, I was listening. Oh, I listen to y'all all the time.
Shut up. That's nice.
Yeah.
And I want to talk
to
the dentist. And
shut up.
Nuh-uh.
Not what?
Why y'all?
Shut up. What was that?
Shut up. The dentist.
The dentist. I have to go to the dentist tomorrow.
Yes, I know that.
Shut up.
And you know, have you ever heard?
Shut up.
You ever go and get nitric oxide?
Nitric oxide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, you know, I hate the dentist, too, you know. And
Shut up!
It was like 2 years.
You know, one time I did...
Shut up!
One time I actually did go to the dentist and I got nitric oxide. And I did it right after I went to see that great movie with Keanu Reeves called The Matrix.
Shut up!
And how was that trip?
Listen, honey, whatever you're saying... Shut up! You're the last caller on the phone scan today.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
Anyway, so how was the ride? With the dentist?
Oh, no, no, no. That's not till tomorrow when I'm going to the dentist with
my
wife.
Well, I know that, but you said you took nitric oxide, and it was like when you saw the movie with...
No, I was making a joke.
That was a joke.
Nitric oxide, and it's actually nitrous oxide.
Okay, excuse moi.
And see, that's why I said the matrix?
Yeah.
That was the joke. No, you didn't get it. French.
I got
it now. And now you get it.
Listen, here you go. You're the last person to call the show ever. Where are you from?
Bel Air.
Bel-Air, so you are listening on which radio station?
105.7.
Right, in Baltimore. You have won tickets to see famous rock band Yes at the Nissan Pavilion Wednesday, August 25. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster outlets, online at NissanPavilion.com. And thank you for listening, and thank you for worrying about the dentist.
No way. And listen, 60%.
Right.
With the nitrix and the nitrox. Well.
Shut up!
Are you drunk?
What? No, with the gas.
It's the gas?
Yeah, go in there with the gas. And
shut up!
And you'll just flip
through the...
Right, okay.
In a world...
And good luck on there. You'll do just fine.
Forbidden.
Honey.
One man finds a way to bring good news to his people.
Am I still talking to y'all?
He made it up.
Yes, you are.
Still! Buzz, what is your lead story on the news and comments today?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't go see 9/11.
Shut up!
He was talking to Buzz, our newsman. Why don't you try listening?
Buzz, what is your lead story today?
Today, the official report says...
Shut up!
The official report...
Lead story? Go ahead, Buzz.
Shut up!
Thank you, dear. The official report says our government...
I can't believe I'm talking to you on the phone. My palms are sweating here.
I'm a little surprised myself.
So are mine.
The official...
Nuh-uh.
Shut up!
You are so funny sometimes. You
shut up!
Really rolling.
Not as funny as you,
Sweetie.
Shut up!
I know, honey.
Buzz?
Yes, Don.
Buzz, again, that lead was what?
Today's lead, the official report says our government missed at least 10 chances to prevent the 9/11 attack.
What else is sweating there?
Shut up!
What? I don't know.
Okay, stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, lady?
Yes.
Shut up!
Michelle's my name.
Okay, all right, Michelle.
Yeah, Michelle.
I'm so nervous. I don't do this very often.
You're awesome. You're awesome.
Do you think?
No, I don't. Not really. That was very...
Bitch.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, meaning the...
Yep.
What's the word from Planet Crapper?
The Don and Mike Show.
Obey them, or they will choke you out. Don and Mike.
Right. Time for Buzz's News now. Buzz is
what I say about him.
This is ghetto-licious.
Buzz brought to you by Viramax, world's number one sexual performance, sexual pleasure enhancer.
Thank you.
Number one rated because it really works.
Want someone call for a doctor?
Doctor developed, clinically tested, patented Viramax.
Oh.
1-888-VMAX.
Oh.
And now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and
Mike.
What's
happening, Whitey?
Hey, the final report is coming out tomorrow from the commission investigating the 9/11 attacks.
Oh.
And it says the U.S. government missed at least 10 chances to prevent those attacks, according to the Washington Post. Most of the blame goes to the CIA and the FBI. The CIA failed to put a couple of the hijackers on its watch list. The FBI bungled the handling of terror suspect Zacharias Moussaoui, searching his stuff without a warrant. Those are just two examples.
Forget.
Forget it. We just can't make it work.
Come on now. It's not going to go.
I'm Shaq.
The rest of the list when the 600-page report is officially made public tomorrow. President Bush wants to be your peace president. That's how he's been describing himself even before he declared war on Iraq. And he's been using it more lately, that phrase, on the campaign trail. Because he contradicted himself back in February when he said, quote, I'm a war president. I make decisions here in the Oval Office with war on my mind.
I remember that quote.
Yeah. I've seen him quoted recently saying that I'm a war president.
I think they're running that tape again from back in February because otherwise, the rest of the time, and especially lately, he's been saying he's the peace president.
Forget it!
Yesterday, for example, Bush said, quote, the enemy declared war on us and nobody wants to be the war president. I want to be the peace president. He used the word peaceful about a dozen times in his appearance yesterday in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Hey, George.
Shut up!
Okay, thank you.
A 68-year-old man has been called into active duty, probably headed for Iraq.
Michael Elston is Buzz Burbank.
I'll go for my country.
Come on, you know, get the pub on
this. Just tell me it's not cold. The Army has called out of retirement 68-year-old John Wicks to help fill a shortage of mental experts to help soldiers cope with combat.
George Michael.
I'll go. Well, Doc, here's my problem. I don't know why I'm over here in the war. I've seen all kinds of awful stuff. I got these nightmares, and I got the people shooting at me 24 hours a day, and I'm going out of my freaking mind. What do you think, Doc?
I think we ought to go back and storm the beach at Normandy.
John is a psychiatrist.
I smell poo!
They ask.
Is it you?
It's me. It's me. God knows it's me.
They asked John if he thought he was fit to serve, and he said he was. They'll never call, said his wife. They called. The Army hasn't said where they're sending John, but you can guess.
Good heavens, no.
Besides, John says he wouldn't settle for any other assignment. Quoting him, I believe the morale is not that good since the scandal of that prison.
This isn't as much fun as the Korean conflict.
I can't hear you.
Not as cold.
I was quivering and shaking. I beg your pardon?
There he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've always had trouble hearing you.
Really?
It's the only thing that I saw.
I know.
Can't hear a word you say.
I know. I keep hearing. This is the guy that we're sending over to Iraq. Right?
I'm not here.
Okay. Mm. Are you going to Iraq?
A burning, intensive desire.
To what? To go to Iraq?
Next question.
Oh, well, yes. He's evading you.
First, can you make up your mind? Are you going to speak on the telephone or are you going to speak on the microphone?
This burning, unquenchable desire.
Okay, now are we talking on the phone?
What is it?
Are we talking on the phone?
Quiet.
He doesn't like this line of questioning.
He shut you down.
I beg pardon?
Democrats, even some Republicans, say they question the timing of this accusation and parts of the accusation itself. Former National Security Advisor Sandy Berger, who served under Clinton and now serves with John Kerry, has been accused of stealing some National Archives documents. Archives workers say they saw Berger stuff notes and a secret report into his socks, his pants, and his suit jacket, as well as his briefcase.
Wow.
Berger says he didn't stuff anything in his socks or anywhere else. He says some papers did get mixed in with his own and that he carried them out accidentally. He says it was an honest mistake and that he's deeply embarrassed. Kerry's people say the accusation is time to take attention away from the aforementioned 9/11 Commission report.
He's a good man.
Sandy Berger?
Yeah, he's a good burger.
That's a good burger. Come with a good burger. May I take you out of please? Welcome to Good Burger. Home of the Good Burger. May I take your order, please?
Man.
Not much call for that one.
No. But it gets a big laugh in this room. You do it again?
Welcome to Good Burger. Home of the Good Burger. May I take your order, please?
And my daughter's like it, too.
Can you do it one more time?
Yeah, sure. Welcome to Good Burger. Home of the Good Burger. May I take your order, please?
Hey, Rob. Robert the Mailman.
They found in a freezer the head of an American who was taken hostage last month in Saudi Arabia. They still haven't found the body of New Jersey's Paul M. Johnson, Jr. The search continues.
The 49-year-old engineer was captured last month, and his beheading was on the Internet. Mm. Now, six more men have been taken hostage. Two Kenyans, three Indians, and an Egyptian. They bring to five dozen the number of foreigners taken hostage.
You know, I'm glad to see some countries. This is ridiculous that they're holding the people. So we'll cut their heads off mm-hmm. unless you pull your guys out.
Exactly.
So Japan is one country, and mm-hmm. They're on my list. Never forget.
Mm-hmm.
However, they did say, you know, they're not saying go ahead, cut the guy's heads off.
No.
They said, we're not pulling out.
Yeah, but the Philippines did, and that's why today, they grabbed six more people?
Six more people.
Yeah, because they say they're emboldened by the fact that they succeed by saying, hey, pull out. And that, you know, I just don't get it. I mean, really, whether you're for the war or against the war, these countries that respond, that actually cave to these terrorists, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just going to do it, and it's going to happen again, and it's going to be bigger and bigger and bigger. Michael Jackson is denying he's having quadruplets through a surrogate mother, but Us Weekly magazine says it's standing by the story.
Hi.
Quoting Jacko's publicist, this is not true, and we are not going to further comment on stories
this
of this nature.
You should not say he's an animal.
Jacko.
I'm not a Jacko.
None of this is true, says the publicist.
Welcome to Good Burger. Almost a Good Burger. May I take your order, please?
The magazine says its sources say Jackson recently spent time in Florida with this unidentified woman. Now, reporters are accusing Jacko of wanting a celebrity exception to the First Amendment. Lawyers for reporters are fighting to make the Michael Jackson trial more public, as he fights to make it more private.
Hi,
I don't want the cameras, you know? I don't want the cameras, because then they'll start calling me Jacko.
Jacko.
And this you should not do.
Right.
You should not say he's an animal.
Jacko.
The media lawyers say this turns the idea of public access upside down. Jacko's lawyers have asked to keep much of the case secret. They say he's not asking for anything unusual.
I don't want anything special.
And they say the media interest is more voyeurism and entertainment seeking.
And this you should not do. I'm not a Jacko.
More voyeurism than a matter of public affairs.
Jacko.
I just want to wear my crazy uniforms.
Now, even though we're only halfway through the year, our Father of the Year award is already being handed out.
Well, hold on a second.
You and your food are going on an adventure.
Wrong tape.
Yeah.
Where's mine? Hold on.
Michael Soares.
Father of the Year.
Father of the Year? No, this guy tops everybody.
Really?
Yeah, our award goes to a man.
This is Sam Huff.
Not Sam. No,
not him.
No, this is bigger. This is a man in West Bend, Indiana, who took his four kids on shoplifting sprees at Walmart. The kids are 5, 6, 8, and 13.
Never too young to learn, Buzz.
Under his direction, they stole school clothing and bicycles. Quoting one of the kids, "My dad always steals and my mom always buys." The children do not face charges, but Dad does, including contributing to the delinquency of minors.
Did they find receipts in the parking lot?
No, they didn't even bother with the receipts.
You know, this is cheating, but I couldn't help but read it. It was on the front page of the newspaper today. The story about the spray that they're selling,
mm-hmm.
that you spray on your license plate.
Oh, yeah.
And if you live in an area where they have the red the red light cameras,
right.
Or if you live, God forbid, like in D.C., where they have the mounted speeding traps.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you're going even 58,
sure.
They take a picture, you get a ticket, it's your license. Anyway, it's illegal as hell as far as I can understand,
mm-hmm.
but it's the... You shake it up like a can of spray paint,
right.
on your actual license plate,
mm-hmm.
and what it does is it causes a glare,
mm-hmm. right.
so that when the camera pops, when
right.
the flash pops,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't get anything but glare.
And you can also use it for a French manicure.
However, I also read that the way around that is a lot of places now are going to digital pictures,
mm-hmm.
meaning even if you put this stuff on your license plate, that would make it glare it because
right.
they have old-time...
Right.
You know, like the cameras they had on the Flintstones?
Right. Yeah.
Where they go, what's wrong with this? And you'd open it up and there would be a guy in there with a chisel actually mm-hmm. chiseling out the picture.
Yeah, the technology is much like Matthew Brady when he used to take pictures of Lincoln.
Right. Yes, that's right.
See the smoke come up.
That's right.
We don't mind that KFC kills and cooks chickens. Oh, have you heard this?
Have I heard it? I saw it.
So long as they don't mistreat them before they kill them.
I saw the video today.
Did you really?
I did.
PETA says it has video of workers at a KFC supplier throwing chickens against a wall, kicking them, and stomping on them.
It's not funny.
No. The video went on the web yesterday after being shot at the Pilgrim's Pride plant in Moorefield, West Virginia. PETA had a private eye go undercover and work there for 7 months, October through May. Quoting KFC, appalling. These actions are completely contrary to our company's practices and policies. Such behavior would result in immediate termination.
Take two. I found a way to cook extra. Come on over and try my crispy. It's entirely different. And yet it's just as tender and tasty. No, and it's just as finger-licking good. You see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that real crispy crust that some folks like. And it's just as tender and juicy, and I'll get it now.
Anyway, I saw the video. Yes. One of those things where it's a hidden camera.
Right.
And you do see the guys go through, and it's just it's like the movie Chicken Run, really. Mm-hmm. And it's wall-to-wall, chickens on the floor.
Really?
And there's a guy just... It almost looks like a rubber chicken that he's picking up by the neck
right.
and throwing against the back. And then as they're trying to clear it, walking space, as they're walking through this barn, whatever this area is, they're just kicking live chickens out of the way.
Wow.
Kicking live chickens out of the way.
I guess they didn't buy the excuse they had, right?
Which was?
Making nuggets. Oh, God, that's terrible. I'm sorry. I'm going to get up to the maker. I'm going to meet my maker. It'll be a chicken. KFC says it won't buy any more Pilgrim's Pride chickens until it's sure there's no chicken abuse, you know, before the killing.
Hey, and KFC, don't you think it's really time now that he's okay to get, like, some fiery barbecue Dale Jr. bucket going? I mean, now that he's okay.
Right.
You've got the bucket already. You can get the Dale Jr. commemorative bucket.
I'm Dale Jr., and I know all about hot. It was hot in that car.
It's flame broiled.
Hot wings. Buzz?
Yes. We got a break. Another full segment lies straight ahead. What is next, my friend?
Botox becomes Botox.
Okay, all right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I heard that guy, what's his name? Neil?
Yeah, fuck Warren, yes.
He's damning Haley Osment. BMW and Apple have created the first seamless integration of iPod and automobile.
With your fully integrated BMW iPod adapter, you can shift between tracks and up to 5 BMW playlists. Adjust volume, shuffle your playlists or entire iPod library, and let the music take you to unexpected places.
This iPod in the BMW, Buzz is currently driving a BMW to test it. How do you like it, Buzz?
Well, women love the car. It's just cool.
Thanks, Buzz. This technology only works with 2002 or later 3 Series and X5, and in all model years of the X3 and Z4 Roadsters.
However, the adapter cannot be installed in vehicles with navigation system, satellite radio, DSP, CD changer, cassette player.
You must update your iPod with the latest iTunes software.
Adapter is only available at BMW centers beginning July 12th. For more information, go to iPodYourBMW.com today.
Do you like it, Buzz?
Oh, man, under the moonlight.
Remember, blah, 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 blah.
Thank you, Buzz.
You're welcome. Mike, this is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Rated PG. Pretty good. The Don and Mike Show.
Let me see tomorrow on the show. The top dog at the federal prison consultants firm. Yes. Lady who thinks she has a game plan for Martha Stewart going to jail.
Excellent.
She's the top dog. She's the top dog.
There she is.
That's how the slug was written. Friday on the show, a guy who lost this week to the freak on Jeopardy.
He's bitter?
Yep, he's bitter.
Good.
His name is Tim Crockett. He listens to us in Las Vegas. We'll have him on the show Friday.
Cool.
Plus tomorrow, Buzz, this bit of warning for you.
Oh, yeah?
That not sure if we're going to do this segment or not tomorrow.
All
we
right.
got a couple of things in the hopper.
Of course.
One of them, though, is a guy who is talking about competitive eating. Like, remember that Nathan's hot dog contest they had?
Yeah, with the Asian guy or the Asian girl that did it.
Right, to beat the big fat guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just be prepared, Buzz. If we get this guy on the telephone tomorrow, we're going to present you as our expert competitive eater.
Oh, okay,
no
problem.
We're going to say that you have won countless contests.
Oh, man.
You know, we love putting you in...
And he gets that job, really, because he's the skinniest one on the show.
Yeah, and we love putting Buzz in a position where who knows how much we're going to say you weigh.
Right.
By the time we get on the air.
Absolutely.
Who knows what it is that you've made your record eating?
It could be anything, and we'll probably make it up right on the spot.
Of course we will.
Inside this toned body is a 400-pound man, so I can do this.
Think 500, Buzz.
All right.
Absolutely.
500.
All right. Think 600.
Okay.
Think big.
Eight?
Thank
what
you.
The hell? Eight.
Eight?
8.50.
Eight, and I tell you what, I'll pay you $10 for every pound, and then you call back 2 months later.
Okay.
Plus 9 pounds.
He's won several championships, including the egg-eating contest.
Uh-huh. How many could he eat, Mike?
50.
How long?
An hour.
Cool hand Luke, kids.
Oh, that's a great one. Get it out of the archives.
Rent it.
Botox, in case you've forgotten, is the toxin from a food poisoning known as botulism.
And you know, I was talking about how Kobe's a popular DJ name, and
right,
then you
right.
have, like, Kobe Carson.
And, yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if it was Bo, B-E-A-U, you know? This is Botox. Or simply B-O, if you're doing, like, a country thing.
Yeah. Botox.
This is Botox.
It's the Botox show.
Or Botox.
Yeah, simply the whole show would be Botox.
There you go.
I'm your host, Bo.
Let's talk. Well, Botox, this toxin, causes paralysis in whatever part of the body.
Hello, this is Botox.
Botox. I bet he's no stranger to that. So Botox causes paralysis in whatever part of the body it's exposed to, and some people, especially women, use it to freeze the wrinkles and the expressions out of their faces.
Hello.
But now it can stop unpleasant underarm odor and embarrassing underarm stains. The government.
Yelling. Hi, Yellen.
The FDA has just ruled that doctors may now use that toxin to paralyze your pits. More precisely, the sweat glands under your arms.
Wow.
You just stop sweating.
The question is, if you have this, mm-hmm. you know, we were kidding, will it affect your speech?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes, yeah.
Well, let's listen. Here's
okay.
somebody who's recently tried this.
I enjoyed the movie. I saw Spartacus was funny, but then I'm prejudiced.
However, his BO has never been fresher.
Absolutely no perspiration stains on this man.
Grease is good.
Just can't put his arms down to his sides.
I mean, he was so charming the way he said it with the hair slicked back.
Uh-huh. Right.
He's now, fine now. This new procedure...
Spartacus was the most important thing I did in my career. Because Spartacus represents a man...
Right.
Wanted freedom.
Botox.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's only supposed to be, this new procedure, for people with hyperhidrosis. They sweat 4 or 5 times more than the rest of us.
Poor old Alan.
Yeah, he'll get it.
This is that yelling line one.
I'm yelling. Give me the injection.
A shot of Botox and you're good for 6 months.
Wow.
The head of the world's busiest airport yesterday handed mops to his executives to start cleaning the restrooms.
Was that Blair Underwood?
No, I don't think so.
Have you not seen the commercials for the LAX show?
No, I have not.
No. On NBC. Uh-huh. Not a joke. Blair Underwood and who's the...
Rob Lowe.
No. The hot girl.
Well, that's the doctor in Dr. Vegas.
The hot girl that was on... She's old, but she's hot. She's on T.J. Hooker. Mm-hmm. She's...
Heather Locklear.
Oh, Locklear. Heather Locklear.
Yeah. Right.
Name of the show is LAX.
Well, that's, it's all about the airport.
Yeah, it's about the airport.
Yeah, and it's like one of those dramas a la Vegas, right?
Yeah,
right.
Vegas, the show with James Caan.
Absolutely.
That's what it looks like, a cheap imitation of. I'll watch it.
You know, and the reason I was thinking cheap imitation, I was thinking of the Rob Lowe show, which is a cheap imitation.
Dr. Vegas.
Where they're trying to, you know, capitalize on the Vegas show.
How you doing, baby? I'm Dr. Vegas.
Vegas is hot right now, baby. All of the casino shows, the poker, that's what it's all about, baby.
And if you have any questions, please speak to, what's the lady's name of that hotel?
Jacqueline Vargas.
Your hostess.
She'll hook you up, baby.
What's the hotel in Las Vegas?
The like? Fabulous Venetian Hotel. You know, Don, I believe she's gotten married. She has a new name, but to me, she will always be Jacqueline Vargas.
Right. Well, the head of the Chicago O'Hare International Airport gave mops to his executives yesterday and told them to clean the restrooms. The suits had to spend the day wearing rubber gloves, cleaning toilets, sinks, and urinals. Quoting the aviation boss, the only way you can really understand the importance of keeping our restrooms clean is going out and getting your hands dirty. Clean it yourself. Work a shift. End quote. Mm. That means 8 hours of mopping floors and emptying trash cans. Some of the janitors for a day make over $100,000 a year.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah. Love.
You don't approve.
Not impressed.
You don't approve.
So many things going on in this world. They got some guy cleaning the junk.
It's and,
you know,
Homeland insecurity. Mm.
Could they send him over here?
Wouldn't
Hi,
help.
Rob.
Wouldn't help.
Hi, Ben. Hi, Mike. Hi, Rob. Hi, Buzz.
How you doing?
Hi, Ben.
No towels.
Hi, Ben.
Love is a roller coaster, literally.
It's
according
a love
to,
roller coaster, Buzz.
According to a new study, that's a literal fact. Psychologists say the adrenaline you feel on a roller coaster makes you more inclined to fall in love with the passenger at your side. They say adrenaline confuses your emotions, causing you to mistake one feeling for another. They say the adrenaline also makes you sexier. Today in London, they're testing the theory with 8 young men and women who will ride in different pairings on roller coasters Mild and Wild.
I want to tell you something.
Yeah. That's right. How you doing? My name is Botox.
Yeah, Bo.
And they said, I just heard a report from Michael Olson that love is like a roller coaster.
Yes, it is.
I was talking to my friend Michael Mara.
Howdy.
And he said it was more like Tilt-A-Whirl.
Yeah,
what?
Baby.
Say what?
Say what?
Yeah.
In sports, a chunk of concrete.
On the Botox show. Stand by for Kobe Bryant. Excuse me, Kobe Carson.
Kobe Carson.
Kobe Carson.
Chunk of concrete fell from an upper deck at Chicago's Wrigley Field yesterday, nearly hitting a 5-year-old boy and his dad. Inspections have been ordered for the stadium because it's the team's job to fall apart in midseason.
Hey, now stop it.
I'm sorry.
That ain't funny.
Well, it's kind of funny.
But Wrigley, I like to see a little of that come back once in a while.
Wrigley Field's falling apart.
Yes, it is. Falling down.
Okay, that's all I have
to say. They're inspecting the building now to see what needs to be done.
And the Red Sox, according to our bet, are currently 9 games behind the Yankees.
Yeah, nine games.
7 in the standings and 2 that you have given them.
I will be up in Boston this weekend viewing the Red Sox against the New York Yankees. I will be up there rooting for the hometown
team. You know, Mike, I don't even follow baseball. We got to wrap this up. I want to say, last night, I did watch Baseball Tonight with that nerd Peter Gammons.
Right.
And he was saying, outside of, I guess, maybe the Mets when they came back in 69.
Right.
That at this point, if the Red Sox would come back.
Right.
It would be one of the greatest comebacks in the history of baseball.
Really?
Yeah, because they're so far back and it's the end of July.
See, that doesn't make sense. I mean, they're far back, but it's not. I mean, there have been teams that have been 14 games out in August and they've come back. Of course, the Red Sox were in first.
Anyway, he was saying that they stink, and if they came back, it would be fantastic.
You know, I was almost prepared because of the recent road trip to come in here and say, if the Yankees get the big unit, which I love that, best name in sports, the big unit, if they get Randy Johnson, I was ready to pay the bet off, but no. I'm going to stick with it to the bitter end.
Finally,
until they're mathematically eliminated.
Until Tom's bitter end.
That's right.
Crooks are still stupid.
Did you make this up?
I did not.
All right, so says you.
Rogersville, Tennessee, 4 guys broke out of jail. Well, they didn't exactly break out. They discovered that their cell doors had accidentally been left unlocked. Some technical problem with the electric locks, apparently. And since the jail is short of jumpsuits, they didn't have to worry about raising suspicion in their street clothes. So they went on a beer run. Went to a supermarket and bought beer. And then they went back to their cells to drink. They now face felony escape charges because crooks are still stupid.
You didn't make that up, right?
I did not. Okay. I'm Buzz Burbank.
Hey, J-Dubs.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzzy. No, all that, we got to go. Good night, everybody.
All right.
Out of here.
It'll be tomorrow.
Yeah, right. See ya.
Get out of here.
Please stand by.
Ron and Fez coming up next.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Stop it. They're good guys.
I know they are. I like them. I was saying, I was talking about last night.
They're following us in Baltimore and also Tampa Bay and right here on WJFK-FM.
Yay.
Thank you to Brennan Swain from The Amazing Race on CBS. Tomorrow, as I said, the Martha Stewart lady, the federal prison consultants firm, and also the Buzz's heavy eater
maybe.
Story. And just maybe, we're going to take a trip to Pickletown tomorrow.
Oh, fantastic.
Maybe we'll do it.
Okay, we got to go.
We'll see you then. Good day to you, sir.
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 Forget. Wow. Boy, oh, boy. 12, 13, 14, 15 hours with my wife and I get to go to the dentist together.
Yay!
Okay, and you?
I like beer.
Melt the cheese.
Eat a lot.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.